morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, my neighbor.
Good morning to life.
Good morning.
Music, talk, inspiration, in perspective.
Express yourself.
Good morning, my neighbor.
City FM, your station.
It's a refreshing lifestyle.
City FM, 97.3.
How y'all doing this evening? Do y'all want that bounce? Do y'all want that bounce? I said, do y'all want that bounce? That bounce?
Everybody wanna be like you. They want power and place like you. But see, there is no God like our God.
Like our God.
There's no one like you who gave their life like you. And who paid our price like you. Say,
Keck Franklin, a god like you.
I can't hear y'all.
Starting our Friday morning. Oh, I love it.
And it don't stop.
He says, who can touch like you or heal like you do? We stumble and we strain till you always get us through. Who makes all things new and comes to our rescue? Death, hell, and the grave, they could not conquer. Death, hell, and the grave they could not conquer. I love that. Neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, no powers, no things present, no things to come, no heights, no depths, no any other creator shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is a reminder we can all do with every day. Listen, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. And so we are afflicted in every way, but we are not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being driven over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh.
You need to remember that.
So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and so I speak. We also believe and so we speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. These things I have spoken to you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome them all. I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer this morning. There's a very simple message for you, inspiring you to a new day, reminding you that life is a gift, but not even death will separate us from the love of the Lord, who is giving us this very life that we have, which is a priceless gift. So be of good cheer. Many are the tribulations that will come our way once we are under the clouds, once we are under the sun. But he says, be of good cheer. I have overcome them all. What an assurance. Listen, death, hell, and the grave, they could not conquer our Lord. Neither will they us. Welcome to a brand new day. It's a Friday, the 12th of April in the year of the Lord 2024. This is 97.3 CDFM. Your favorite show in the morning, the City Breakfast Show. My name is Caleb Kuda. It's an inspiring start to your morning, brought to us by ADB. We call it Business Sense. If you're a paid employee or salaried worker and you need a personal loan to resolve your financial issues, ADB is offering you a variety of personal loans, including top-up loans that significantly reduce interest rates. You also enjoy a longer tenure of up to 6 years. This offer is open to non-customers as well. So kindly visit the nearest branch or call 0302-210210 or 0302-224-043 for further inquiries. ADB is a people's bank. ADB is truly a great and more. The show is interactive. We'd love to hear from you. WhatsApp, Telegram, 0549-986-996. On Twitter or X at City973. The hashtag is hashtag CityCBS. It's a Friday morning.
That's why.
The morning after the holiday. That ushers us into the weekend. It's going to be refreshing. Interesting, eye-opening. Insightful as always. Join us, let's do this. If today is your birthday, we celebrate with you. Send us a message on 0549-986-996. Let's celebrate you.
That's why I just want to be where you are. I'll travel life with you.
like our God.
There's no one who gave our lives like you.
Who paid the price?
Who paid our price like you?
There's only one.
There's only
if you know there's only
God,
one, make some noise.
There's a God. Hey. There's no one like you.
Oh.
There's no one like you.
Unleashing the power of rapid radio. This is City 97.3.
Join the conversation on the City Breakfast Show on Facebook at facebook.com/city97.3, Twitter at twitter.com/city973, and Instagram at instagram.com/city973 with the hashtag CityCBS.
Above the noise.
In fact, no, brother man, here, have two. $2 means a snack for me, but it means a big deal to you. Be strong, serve God only. Know that if you do, beautiful heaven awaits. Asked to pull my rope for the first time. I saw a man with no clothes, no money, no plate, Mr. Wendell. Asked his name. No one ever knew his name, cause he's a no one. Never thought twice about spending on an old bum until I had the chance to really get to know one. Now that I know him, to give him money isn't charity. He gives me some knowledge, I buy him some shoes. And to think blacks spend all their money on big colleges, still most of y'all come out confused. Go ahead, Mr. Wendell. Go ahead, Mr. Wimp. Mr. Wendell has freedom, a free that you and I think is dumb. Free to be without the worries of a quick-to-diss society, for Mr. Wendell's a bum. His only worries are sickness and an occasional harassment by the police in their chase. Uncivilized, we call him, but I just saw him eat off the food we waste. Civilization, are we really civilized? Yes or no? Who are we to judge when thousands of innocent men could be brutally enslaved or killed over a racist grudge? Mr. Wendell has tried to warn us about our ways, but we don't hear him talk. Is it his fault when we've gone too far, and we got too far, cause on him we've walked. Mr. Wendell, a man, a human in flesh, but not by law. I bid you dignity to stand with pride. Realize that all in all, you stand tall. Go ahead, Mr. Wendell.
The development.
Mr. Wendell, yeah. Lord, Mr. Wendell.
Total Energy, Fidelity Band, bringing us newspaper review in a bit.
It's a snack for me, but it means a big deal to me.
A poorly maintained car engine can age faster. That is why we offer specially formulated quartz engine oil with age resistance technology. It's a breakthrough innovation that ensures optimal performance for your engine and improves protection against mechanical wear. By up to 74% even under extreme temperatures and pressure.
Yeah, to know.
Choosing quartz from Total Energies is choosing the engine oil that keeps your engine running efficiently and effectively.
I'm in colleges, still most of y'all come out.
Quartz keep your engine younger for longer. Hear me out. Pan-African Payment and Settlement System, PABS, is now live at Fidelity Bank. Imagine sending money to your loved ones or business partners across Africa instantly and in Ghana cities. Don't wait for days for transactions to clear. No more expensive fees, just fast, secure, and affordable payments. PABS is here, and Fidelity Bank makes sending money through PABS easy. Visit any Fidelity Bank branch and start sending money across Africa instantly, securely, and affordably. to Nigeria, Gambia, Liberia, Guinea, and Sierra Leone.
We'll beat it.
Fidelity Bank, believe with us.
It may could be brutally
Fidelity Total Energy is happy to join us with the newspaper review.
On us about our ways, but we don't hear him talk. Is it his fault when we've gone too far? And we got too far, because on him we've walked. Mr. Wendell, a man, a human in flesh, but not by law. I bid you dignity to stand with pride. Realize that all in all, you stand tall. Go ahead, Mr. Wendell.
X38 was a double dose. I love this one. And it's time for the newspaper review. Nodding his head to the rhythm and the blues.
Caleb Koda.
This is your kind of groove, right?
Yeah.
And you are in black and Nathan is in white.
Yeah.
Interestingly.
I know, right?
So this is black, this is white. It doesn't matter if it's black or white.
Yeah, just as Waku Jaku puts it.
Yeah, man. We're going to the newspaper
when
review.
When you're in a rhythm like that, I mean, you need to jump on your feet and dance to the beat.
I love it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Caleb Koda.
Oh, man. It's the day after the holiday.
And it's Friday.
Yes, it is.
And it's Friday.
We are hopping. It's good. Thank God it's Friday.
Yes, sir.
Let's go into the papers.
All right. I'll start off with the Ghanaian Times. Front page says, performance tracker. Mm-hmm. Government executes over 13,000 projects so far. Minister of Works and Housing announces fetish priest in custody for spreading false information.
Mm.
Dr. Baumia denounces LGBTQ plus on Eid al-Fitr Day.
Right.
My faith is against it. Mm-hmm. And fire outbreak at Jamestown. 500 structures burned. Hundreds rendered homeless. Mm.
All right, the front page of the Daily Graphic says, Islam opposes LGBTQI plus. I can't support practice. That's coming from Dr. Baumia. And that is replicated across, I think, all the papers today. All the papers today, with the exception of the BNFT. Mm-hmm. Other stories, national discourse is too toxic. That's according to Professor Edu Buando. And Ghana to host conference on cashew industry. And on the back page, City FM is representing live. So City FM hands over new health center to Mepe.
Beautiful.
Yes,
beautiful. It's a wonderful picture here. There. Thank you to everybody who played a part, small or big. Mm-hmm. You all contributed to making this possible.
All right, let's get into the new finder. Mm-hmm. President cautions against divisive politics ahead of elections. Over 13,000 projects listed on performance tracker. ECG rejects alleged forex manipulation deal with Fidelity Bank. And of course, he asked Dr. Baumia no to LGBTQI plus story on the front page of the Finder as well.
All right, that story is also on the front page of the Daily Graphic. The other stories say Ejisu by election, EC opens nominations, airport staff interdicted over cocaine smuggling. And Cozy donates materials to Ashale Botre Mosque.
All right, let me take you to the front page of the Chronicle newspaper. I can't support LGBTQ plus in Ghana. This is Dr. Baumia. Reverend Owusubempa Tuvib Natoshi is the right candidate. KON launches government performance tracker. Choose female running mate from Ashanti region. Traders Association suggests to
female
Baumia.
Running mate from Ashanti region.
Yep.
Okay, that's a new one.
There's a quotation here, scripture from the Proverbs, book of Proverbs, chapter 29, verse 12. If a ruler listens to falsehood, all his officials will be wicked.
If a ruler listens to falsehood, all his officials will be wicked. This is the word of God.
Thanks Ghanaian, be to God.
Yeah, the Ghanaian publisher, let me talk about the unique stories they have. Ekufado promotes peace ahead of election.
Right.
EC designates 288 registration centers and transport fare increase shut down.
Okay.
The Inquisitor newspaper grabbing NPP chairman buffoonery against NAPO. Agenda rubbished. Chairman Fifi Jokard speak. The Inquisitor lost their Kojo marble, and so that story is also carried here. The Kojo Mabo is to be buried today, and then there's a tribute to him titled The Simple Easygoing Man is Gone. Suhum MP dribbles Eastern Region MPP chairman, crucial meeting cancelled, and new customs boss to shift tables.
All right, the Republic Press, in addition to the Baumia story, they say, I'm not a clearing agent, I won't interfere in corruption fight. That's coming from John Mahama. Demonstrate good character, Sheikh Shaibu tells Muslims. And on a sad note, in the central region, a 37-year-old man allegedly drowns in River Pra over heartbreak. And scholarship secretariat on tenterhooks as OSP intensifies probe. Plus, UK returns Asante loot. And then finally for me, the BNFT, soy corn price stability to drive local poultry market. And British Museum, Victoria and Albert Museums bring back Asante objects of 1874. And March's 25.8% rate poses no threat to disinflation trend. That's coming from an analyst. And there's a very interesting feature on page 8 of the BNFT. Customer experience, getting the basics right. So for those who are interested, you can find that in the BNFT.
Should I take you online now?
Please do.
Bloomberg says cocoa surge is drawing Africa's farmers back to the bean. Very interesting analysis here. And UK economy grows for a second month after mid-recession, also on Bloomberg. And then Apple is here. Apple says it is going to overhaul its entire Mac line with AI-focused M4 chips. That's some solid stuff coming in there. If you go to the BBC, very interesting stories. O.J. Simpson, his life and trial that defined it. U.S. restricts travel for employees in Israel. And Biden urged to ban China-made electric vehicles. And then there's an interesting one here. Suicide is on the rise for young Americans. Ooh. Why? That's a big one there. And if you go to CNN, Vietnam tycoon sentenced to death in $12 billion fraud case. U.S. defense commitments to Japan and Philippines remain ironclad, Biden says. And then if I bring you back to Ghana, citynewsroom.com. Stories here. Cocoa Board CEO condemns illegal mining activities threatening cocoa farms. Former CEO of GIPC. Sad story came through yesterday. Mawena Treba passes on. Really sad, given that today is her birthday. For it to pass yesterday, it was... Government's performance tracker, a misplaced priority. This is the NDC speaking. And we have been investigating scholarship secretariat since July 2023. This is the OSP speaking. And if I take you to my Joy Online very quickly, I commend Baumia for taking a clear stance on LGBTQ+. This is Sheikh Shaibu. I won't interfere in the corruption fight. I'm not a clearing agent. This is Mahama speaking. And so these are some of the stories from the online. Ignore MPP free SHS will thrive under Mahama. This is a pack. It's an earlier story. So we can delve into the details, Nana Tufo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we've all been looking forward to the vice president, now flag bearer of the MPP, breaking a silence on a number of issues. He has done that regarding the LGBTQ plus issue and declared his stance. That story is carried in a number of the dailies this morning. I'll take that off the Chronicle newspaper, story by my brother Maxwell Ofori, and it says, "I can't support LGBTQ plus in Ghana." Baumia speaking. The flag bearer of the New Patriotic Party, NPP, Dr. Mahamudu Baumia, has broken a silence on the controversial homosexuality conversation as he has publicly rejected the practice. According to the vice president, the societal and cultural norms of Ghana and its religions abhors the practice of homosexuality, and he personally cannot support it. He said this on Thursday, April 11, 2024, while addressing Muslim congregation during the Eid al-Fitr prayers at the Kumasi Central Mosque in the Ashanti region. The NPP presidential candidate for the 2024 elections, Dr. Baumia, did not mince words on his stance on homosexuality, saying that such practices would not be tolerated under his tenure as president of Ghana.
In the meantime, the chief imam spokesperson is commending Dr. Baumia for making his stance on this matter clear. You know, the NDC in particular has been mounting pressure on Dr. Baumia to declare his stance on that, and the spokesperson has been commending him. There's a quote here. It says, "The subject at the center of this LGBTQ issue and the bill that has been accepted in parliament is our concern. It is about the survival of the family, which is the family we seek to protect. And in this particular issue, both Muslims and Christians are one. We are on the same page. So we would seek to collaborate with the Christian community, having analyzed the situation very well. And if we come to agreement, I mean, we could go hand in hand with the Christian community in order to seek an audience with the president to understand why the delay, whether it is a technical issue or whether in spite of the fact that the issue is at court." So Dr. Baumia is saying that, look, he is against the... Does that mean he will pass the bill if we were president?
We don't know.
Well, we are waiting to see.
Well, talking about matters of national interest, Professor Dora Francisca Edubuando, who's a professor of English language at the UCC, says the country's discourses are becoming increasingly toxic and has therefore called for a conscious effort to readjust us positive engagement. And she said that was necessary considering that the norms of respect and courtesies were crucial for impactful engagement for personal and collective national identity and growth as Ghanaians. And she was delivering her inaugural lecture on the topic Discourses of Our Times, Power Norms of Power, Norms of Language Use and Identity Formation at the UCC earlier this week.
Okay.
All right, let me take you to the Ghanaian Times, page 3. And there was a fire outbreak at Jamestown. 500 structures burnt, households rented, hundreds rendered homeless. Story by Anita Nyakon Urenchi. Over 500 wooden structures were destroyed in a fire outbreak at a slum at Jamestown in Accra on Tuesday, and hundreds of people rendered homeless as a result. Items destroyed included personal effects, fridges, and fish. No casualty was recorded. When Ghanaian Times visited the scene after the fire, it saw some victims counting their losses with others salvaging belongings from the debris. It was a field day for scrap dealers as they were collecting things they found suitable. Eyewitnesses who spoke to the Ghanaian Times raised the suspicion that the outbreak was as a result of a fire that was not attended to. Assistant Divisional Officer Grade 1, ADO1, Alex King Nati of the Public Relations Department of the Ghana National Fire Service headquarters, in an interview with the Ghanaian Times yesterday, said his office received a distress call and proceeded to the scene. Quite disturbing. I mean, I think just 2 days ago also there was
Medina.
There was another fire in Medina.
11th April.
Yeah, I think so. The education should continue, and then people should be more safety cautious in the country, especially with regards
to our markets,
Our market areas.
Nathan.
All right, if you go to page 5, of the Daily Guide. UK returns Ghana's looted royal artifacts in loan deal.
Nice.
Now, this story was sourced from the BBC. And it says the United Kingdom has returned 32 royal artifacts looted from Ghana's Asante Kingdom in the 19th century. The royal objects were taken from the palace in Kumasi during the Anglo-Asante Wars, including the infamous Sagrante War of 1874. They were returned on Tuesday by the British Museum and the Victoria and Albert Museum. And the 150-year-old mostly golden royal regalia will be on loan for an initial 3 years and renewable for another three. The loan deal is not with the Ghanaian government, but with Otunfo Osei-Tutu II, the current traditional ruler of the Asante people. Legal restrictions in the UK have made it impossible to return the artifacts permanently. Now, it goes on to give details on, of course, further details on, you know, the arrangement and all of that. And it says that they will be on public display and open to the public in May.
Fantastic.
That's
all right.
A point of info for those who are interested.
Okay.
Caleb, the government has launched this performance tracker, and I have had people ask me if this is not just a digital green book. But according to the government, they have executed over 13,000 projects. Okay. And there's a story on page 8 of the Finder says over 13,000 projects listed on Performance Tracker. More than 13,000 projects executed by the government as of June 2023, along with their geolocations and photographs for easy validation and analysis by individuals and corporate entities, have been uploaded on the Performance Tracker. It has also been broken down into 22 thematic areas and 105 categories of all infrastructure projects being executed and ongoing across the 28 ministries and offices of the government machinery, as well as in the 16 regions and 261 districts. The performance tracker continuously updates itself and has been organized into 5 major parts for easy navigation and comparison. The tracker is a tool for empowering taxpayers to check, validate, and be informed on how the government has utilized their resources, and promotes transparency and accountability from duty bearers.
So, I take you online now to citynewsroom.com. Don't pay new transport fares yet. DPRTU to commuters, if you are in Trotro listening to me, there is a confusion now. I mean, the Ghana Private Road Transport Union, GPRTU, and the Ghana Road Transport Coordinating Council, GRTCC, are disagreeing with the Concerned Drivers Associations of Ghana and the Transport Operators Union. So basically, the Transport Operators Union and the Concerned Drivers Association of Ghana have declared a 30% increase in transport fares effective April 13, which is when? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
But the GPRTU and the GRTCC is emphasizing that any fare hike outside the parameters set by the administrative instrument governing the review of public transport fares in the country is deemed illegal and should be disregarded. So they're essentially saying that the 30% hike declared by the Transport Operators Union and the Concerned Drivers Association of Ghana is outside of the parameters set by the administrative instrument governing the review of public transport. So one trotter mate can decide to go with the concerned drivers, another will go with GPRTU. I think that there must be a united front.
They need
so
to
that
tidy up.
Exactly. Communication is clear, right? Because this can cause fracas in our transport system.
I think for the longest time, when the GPRTU spoke or issued a statement, announced or denounced fares, it was final.
Yeah.
But now there are so many transport associations and organizations.
The concerned ones.
Exactly.
And
that's what creates the confusion. So perhaps the transport ministry needs to stamp its authority in this matter, and then we have a clear way going forward.
But the exciting news is on Ghanaian Times page 7, City Foundation inaugurates health center for Mapa. Story by Jonathan Donkor from Mapa. A health center along with a 4-unit staff quarters has been inaugurated in Mapa in the North Tong district of the Volta region, the epicenter of the Akosombo Dam spillage, built by the City Foundation with a sponsorship of 1.5 million Ghana cedis from the Ghana Chamber of Mines and donations from listeners and viewers of City FM City TV. It will address the pressing health needs of the residents. It captures the chief executive of City FM appreciating the donors and sponsors, and then also the Member of Parliament for the area, the DCE, everyone there, they are very excited about the prospect of this health center and how it's going to enhance healthcare in the vicinity. So congratulations to all of us for making this happen, to our listeners, our viewers, our sponsors, the corporate, the Chamber of Ghana Chamber of Mines. They've done a great job.
Amazing.
The sod was cut for a chipped compound and it was opened as a health center. Magnificent stuff. Congratulations to all of us. Great job. Great job.
That's also on the back page of the Daily Graphics for those who are interested.
I love it. Now, suicide is on the rise for young Americans with no clear answers. This story is on the BBC. You can get details, but that's all for the newspaper review. Now, Nanatu Fuoboating in black, Nathan Obodai Kwal in white. It doesn't matter if it's black or white. Yep. This is the City Breakfast Show. Let's do this. Oh, and Godfred Odum, where are you? Godfred Odum, come on, let's do this. While he joins me, let me just give you a quick taste of this one. So suicide is on the rise. And suicide is on the rise for young Americans with no clear. Good. Godfred is here. So we're in the newspaper review. Please get the details online, BBC.
This is the City Breakfast Show. The city's biggest conversation.
Unleashing the power of relevant radio. This is City 97.3.
Bringing you the business news shortly. Brought to you by Girl PLC, Axis Bank, MTN, Girl PLC, your CIMG Hall of Fame and 2022 Petroleum Company of the Year has taken the lead again. We've opened our Dromodin liquefied petroleum auto gas service stations across the country. Look out for us at Burma Camp in Accra, Kwesi Guelb service station in Accra, Pedu Junction, Cape Coast, Pinson in Takoradi and Kentenkrono in Kumasi. Girl is delivering the safest and affordable gas at your convenience. Girl, good energy. Now to you, the businessman, trader, parent, sending money to your loved ones and business partners. Thanks to Access Bank and PAF's partnership, you can now send money across border hassle-free. You can now send money to pay for goods and services, make business transactions, and cover fees across Africa without worrying about foreign exchange losses or delays. Straightforward, secure, keeps your mind at ease. Send payments across the border, Nigeria, Liberia, Gambia, Guinea, Sierra Leone, with zero foreign exchange hassle. When you send money in CDs, it will now be received in any other currency by the recipient. For more information, visit our website, www.ghana.accessbankplc.com, or call us to 3800004400. For all your cross-border payments, visit any of our branches and PAPS it with Access Bank. Access Bank, more than banking. See, if you need to make an urgent call and you've realized that you're out of credit, there's no need to panic, no need for stress. On MTN, you just have to dial *506# and you get to borrow credit on MTN extra time. The best part is you can borrow data by dialing same number, *506#. That's what Nashika does when she's hot. She's here with the business news as well.
This is the City Breakfast Show, the city's biggest conversation.
So let's welcome the lady from Osu into the studio. Good morning, Ashika Siza.
Good morning, Caleb. How are you doing?
What's in the news?
Hello and welcome to the breakfast edition of the City Business News, proudly brought to you by MTN, Goyle and Access Bank. My name is Nashika Siza. Coming up, Cocoa Board fast tracking processes to review existing laws to impose stiffer sanctions on mining firms who flout the law. Also coming up, government faces mounting pressure to implement sustainable strategies to stem depreciation of local currency. The details of our stories now. Cocoa Board is fast-tracking processes to review existing laws to impose stiffer sanctions on mining firms that flout the law under the guise of minerals exploration to distract cocoa farmlands. Per the current producer price, Cocoa Board loses 1.5 million cedis if an acre of cocoa farm is destroyed illegally by mining firms due to the lack of oversight by the Minerals Commission. Ghana faces a potential embargo on cocoa bean exports to the global market due to illegal mining activities threatening the quality of cocoa produced in the country. Joseph Boahin Adu is CEO of Cocoa Board, and he tells City Business News cocoa farmers must no longer be shortchanged.
The Economic Plant Protection Act provides that whoever grants such a license for a cocoa tree to be destroyed is also liable. Maybe that's what the people at the Minerals Commission have been taking note of. You know, you are also liable. You can be prosecuted, and we want to sound this to them. In fact, we are reviewing the law because 200 penalty units today, I think the value of penalty units is 12 cedis. So if you are asking somebody to go and pay 250 penalty units, I think it amounts to just 3,000 Ghana. The person can easily pay and go. We are not going to allow that. So we are reviewing this, you know, this law. And the law provides that the minister in charge of cocoa can come out with an executive instrument. And we are working on that for our minister. Because often mining companies go there and then they tell the farmer, oh, they are going to give them 20 cedis per tree. And on an acre farm, you have 440 trees. So when you multiply, it means that the farmer is going to earn just about 8,800 Ghana. It's a cheat. We are not going to allow that.
You heard Joseph Boahin Adu, CEO of Cocoa Board. Now, the government faces mounting pressure to implement sustainable strategies to stem the depreciation of the local currency, with recent fluctuations bringing the depreciation rate to perilously close to 10%. Hope emerges as the government engagement with International Monetary Fund representatives concludes, signaling potential positive development. Nonetheless, Professor Godfred Bobkin, a finance lecturer at the University of Ghana Business School, emphasized the need for strategic measures to narrow the deficit gap between the local currency and its major trading counterparts.
When it happens that way, the gains that you make from there, it will get to a point and it will be very difficult to drag it down further. That is where we are. As you can see, the depreciation of the currency is being managed temporarily. Even if you get all the donor inflows from IMF development partners, IMF, the World Bank and the rest of them, and you put everything together, it's not sufficient to close the dollar deficit gap. It's not. So going forward, the city will be exposed. You may have some temporary relief, but it's just a matter of time.
That was a finance lecturer at the University of Ghana Business School, Professor Godfred Bokin, speaking there. Moving on, it will take Ghana 14 more years to achieve universal access to electricity. That's the projection by the Institute of Energy Security, IES. The access rate to electricity in the country as of 2022 stood at 88.8%, up from the 83.2% recorded in 2016. This rise in access to power across the country has been consistent in the period under review. Hatcher Derek Emmanuel is a research analyst with the IES.
If we take a critical look at our access to national electricity, it has been on a decreasing rate. From 2008, the rate was at 60.5% and ended at 2016 at 83.24%. That is 22.74% increment, translating to an annual rate of 2.8%. But from 2017, it went up from 83.24% to 88.84%.
Hatcher Derek Emmanuel is a research analyst with the Institute of Energy Security. Now, in the interbank foreign exchange market, where banks trade among themselves, the dollar gained 2 pesos and is selling at 12 cedis 98 pesos. The British pound is selling at 16 cedis 27 pesos. It lost 13 pesos. The euro lost 13 pesos and is selling at 13 cedis 93 pesos. However, at some forex bureaus in the capital, the dollar is selling at 13 cedis 40 pesos, while the British pound could be sold to you at 16 cedis 60 pesos, and the euro is going for 14 cedis 30 pesos. And that's it for the breakfast edition of the City Business News, proudly brought to you by MTN, Goyle and Access Bank. My name is Nashika Caesar. Do have a great day.
The City Breakfast Show. Rise above the noise.
Eight minutes past seven. 97.3 CDFM is the dial. It's the City Breakfast Show. My name is Caleb Kuda. We'll bring you the City Business Edition as we do every Friday. We'll bring you more knowledge. It's the second leg of our public awareness campaign on the use, the safe use of pesticides. It's brought to us by the Center of Agriculture and Biosciences International in line with their PlantWise Plus initiative. So in the next 30 minutes, we'll focus on integrated pest management. In the meantime, what if I told you that first things first? There are things etched in gold, some things never change. And I told you that number one always comes before 2A, letter A always comes before the letter B, and that B always comes way before the letter N. What if I told you that at FBN our goal is to put you, our cherished customers, first? Our financial services offer the gold standard of value excellence. Our products and services have been designed just for you. You deserve the finer things in life, and banking is no exception. You deserve a bank like FBN Bank. Think FBN anytime you think about a bank that cares for you and puts you first. FBN Bank, you first. Now imagine launching your career and starting your own business, or embarking on advanced studies within 6 months of graduation at a Shesi University. That's nearly every graduate's reality. From Accra to Nairobi, London to New York, Shesi graduates are noticed and they are leading successful careers. Regardless of what you choose to study, an Ashesi education gives you a strong foundation for life. So visit ashesi.edu.gh, ashesi.edu.gh to learn more about the Ashesi Advantage. Remember, admission is ongoing. Listen, if it must be done, it must be done well. That is why Danwell Insurance Limited has remained your preferred insurance provider for all your general insurance needs for the past 30 years. Some of the policies we underwrite are motor insurance policy, fire insurance for both domestic and commercial properties, accident properties, liability, public liability policy, and many more. So call your insurance broker or agent, or visit any of our branches to buy or renew your insurance policies and receive fuel coupons and other amazing rewards. We have the ease of instant insurance sign-ups anywhere, anytime. With our WhatsApp bots, you just dial 0501-687-806. T's and C's apply. You can call us on 0242-439-488 or 0302-763-065. Danwell Insurance, if it must be done, it must be done well. So let's get into Business Edition today. Second leg of our public awareness campaign on the safe use of pesticides. My colleague Ni Latte Latte and his guests bring you today's edition of the City Business Edition.
This is the City Breakfast Show. The city's biggest conversation.
Please wait. Please wait. Please wait until I get my new car. Please wait. Some love for somebody, my girl, sweet.
Welcome to today's edition of the City Business Edition on 97.3 City FM. My name is Ni Late Late. Today we are talking about integrated pest management, understanding it as a safer crop protection method in agriculture. And this is part of the campaign and education by the Center for Agriculture and Biosciences International, CAPI. It is also part of their PlantWise Plus initiative, trying to find ways of tackling the issue of pesticide misuse on the environment and the ecology. As we've always been saying, the safety of the food we consume remains a priority as well. And that is what this initiative by the center is all about. We have two directors with us here today. One from the Ministry of Food and Agriculture and then the Environmental Protection Agency. They are going to help us with today's discussion. First is Copperfield Banini, Deputy Director, Plant Protection and Regulatory Services Directorate of the Ministry of Food and Agriculture. Copperfield, good to see you once again.
Thank you.
I mean, off air, somebody was telling me that you are the best person when it comes to pest management.
It's because of the position I hold.
I see.
As the head of the head of crop pest and disease management.
I see. No other person will put the conversation in proper context for us today but you. Good to have you. Good to have you. Welcome. You. Welcome. Well, I also have with me here Joseph Edmond. He is Director, Chemicals Control and Management Center at the Environmental Protection Agency. Joseph, good to see you once again.
Thank you.
It was a great time the other day.
Sure.
Good to have you back again.
Thank you.
I do not think that we may have to start the conversation without first looking at what integrated pest management is. When we say integrated pest management, or IPM for short, what are we talking about? Can you take us to the lecture theater? Let me begin with you, Copperfield.
Thank you very much. IPM, or Integrated Pest Management, is a holistic and sustainable approach to managing pests. It aims at reducing the use of pesticides, but the quality of produce will not be undermined. It brings together, or it combines strategies to manage pests. Yes, we are talking about biological control, cultural control, physical control, and the last resort should be the use of chemicals. So let me put it this way. That's how IPM is. IPM is practiced with specific aim in mind. That's to produce a healthy crop for the population. Thank you.
I see. So in simple terms, it is a method or a process combining both chemical and non-chemical methods just to control or suppress the pest infestation population. Just for the economic and greater good for all of us.
Exactly.
I see. And so, usually when we talk about these kinds of techniques, processes, or even methods, usually they go hand in hand with some principles underlying them. Is it the same case for IPM?
Yeah, it's the same case. We have to consider three key issues here. In IPM, it is not an approach that can be replicated by anybody or by a second farmer. Let me put it that way. Farmer A has his own field, and the challenges on the field will not be the same as Farmer B. So there are two different fields here. The key components of IPM are prevention. First, you have to make sure you prevent the pest from coming to the field. That's why we engage the cultural practices that we do in farming, weeding, land selection, and all that. They are cultural practices. Then the second key component is monitoring or scouting. You don't just go and start spraying any chemical as we use in the conventional method or system of farming. You have to go around the field, monitor the population of the both insects and the natural enemies, taking into consideration the environment, the crop environment, before you take any action. So you gather data on the field. That's why you are doing the monitoring. You monitor and take data, and you analyze the data based on the analysis that you make. You take a decision. That's where the intervention, that's the third part, comes in. Intervention as to what to do, what strategy or method that you'll be able to employ to manage the pest. Yeah.
So the initial sense I get is that it is not a one-off thing. It is a step-by-step approach.
Yes.
I see. But to you, Joseph, let me pick your thought briefly on this whole IPM conversation from the regulatory industry or sector. Is it the same way you view IPM, just as Mr. Banini has explained?
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much. I think basically, as he has described, that is how IPM is implemented. Looking at it, not like you said, you are introducing certain measures, you know, to prevent pests from becoming a problem. And by introducing those measures, we are trying to eliminate or reduce the use of chemicals. And it's all about helping to also ensure that, you know, risk is also reduced on the field. Mm-hmm. So you need to have some knowledge. You know, you have to be at least trained on how to be able to, because like you said, if a farmer has to go to the field to monitor, to scout, and so on and so forth, he needs some skill to be able to do that. So you need to have some knowledge, you know, to be able to know, do that effectively. Mm-hmm. And then once you have been able to establish that the pest is at a point where they can cause damage, then you can bring in your introductions. So with conventional chemicals, what happens is that once normally we have so what we call calendar spray. Farmers spray based on the calendar. They know that when they plant at the first 2 weeks, they have to spray this. You know, at this stage of the crop, they have to spray this. So they go to the farm ready with their, you know, beginning of the year, they have their chemicals in place and so on and so forth, because they know when they have to spray, because all the things are also indicated on the label, you know that they follow. Mm-hmm. So, but with IPM, you are basically using the chemical as the last resort when it comes to the point that, you know, your interventions, the other interventions are not able to help, that you bring in with the chemical. So it has a bit of a different from the conventional way of, you know, controlling pests and diseases.
I think that today that we are talking about integrated pest management, I just realized that conspicuously missing in our conversation for the past weeks has been the kind of pests that we have in Ghana, the kind of diseases that we have, and also how it affects, you know, the crops that we have. Maybe this is the better time for us to talk about it. Mr. Banin, I want you to talk to me on this one. In Ghana, what kind of pests that we usually find on the farmland, and the diseases they cause, and how farmers have been affected by this whole pest infestation, for which reason we are having this conversation of IPM?
Thank you very much. To answer this question, I think I have to add something to what Mr. Edmond said.
Go ahead.
Conventional method of pest management has to do with application of pesticides all along. Mm. So by so doing, we don't conserve natural enemies on the field. Mm. We end up killing them. So that's a major problem for us. That's why every 2-3 weeks farmers are spraying. And the conventional doesn't take into consideration the environmental and human health aspect of that. And the cost element, the cost is very, very important. The more you buy the chemicals, the more the cost of production goes high.
So IPM brings in the issue of the environment, the issue of human health,
yes.
The cost, which is actually the economic benefit we earlier spoke about.
Exactly.
I see.
Mm. So back to the question. I will cite three important crops and their pests. The first one is maize.
Mm.
Maize is a staple for us.
For us,
everybody, in Ghana takes cocoa, akple, or banko.
Banko, kinki.
The major pest that we have recorded since 2016, it's the fall armyworm.
Mm.
So this fall armyworm, we've been using. Initially, we were using a lot of synthetic products, chemicals. Farmers were spraying anyhow. So
left, right, center.
Yeah, it's a worry for us. So we kind of went around the whole country. We were able to get some biological control agent. Yes. So we have deviated from the use of conventional way of managing pests.
So a biological alternative.
Biological, and we are also using biorational.
Mm-hmm.
So government has been buying pesticide for the farmers to use free of charge. So we deviated from the use of synthetic products, and now we are using biorational alongside the biological control. Then mango. Mango has a challenge. That's mango mealybug. If you go around the country, you see some whitish
on the mango fruit.
Mealybug. Initially, we were using a biological control means to manage. Unfortunately, farmers didn't understand what we were doing because we didn't consult them much. So they ended up killing most of the biological agents that we released. Yes, so it's a worry. Now, there's something we call resurgence. The pest has come back, resurgence, with few natural enemies or the biological control agent to match that population. Then we can also talk about vegetables in general.
Mm.
Vegetables infested by aphids, thrips, and borers. So that's the reason why most farmers have been using a lot of chemicals to manage the situation.
I see. Quite interesting. But you've also alluded to the fact that farmers do not understand what industry players have been doing in terms of reducing, you know, pesticide misuse and also the effect of pests on farm produce. So my question to you next is that how can we integrate, first off, the concerns of farmers, because they would want to protect their farmlands, and also match your interventions. How can we integrate these two things together, or these two components into the planning and mitigation of pests on the farmland vis-a-vis your interventions?
Thank you very much. During the fall armyworm issues, farmers and the public, general public, complain about the use of chemicals, more chemicals on the maize. So we went around and sampled some views from the public and even the farmers. Because of that, we realized that no, we have to change the way we were doing things. That's the reason why we started scouting for natural enemies for that. So I would say that the views of farmers through stakeholder engagement were able to know that they were not comfortable using some of these things. So it helped us to integrate their ideas into our planning, yes, going forward.
Mm-hmm. All right, but to you, I almost said Copperfield again. All right, thank you very much, Copperfield Banini. But let me come to Joseph Edmond from the Environmental Protection Agency. I mean, usually any time industry players, stakeholders, or even a community want to embark on a project or initiative, one of the critical things that we consider is the environmental impact assessment. And so as we talk about safer crop protection methods like the integrated pest management, and you are from the EPA, maybe describe to us how IPM helps in protecting the environment. Because when Copperfield was speaking, he gave us the understanding that whenever we talk about IPM, looking at it from the conventional method, the human impact, the environmental impact, the economic aspect of it is what makes it that integrated, if I want to put it that way.
Yeah, thank you very much. So, I mean, in simple terms, as we are saying, the IPM is more or less, the bottom line is that you are reducing the use of chemicals. And we know that chemicals, when they are used, and they are used indiscriminately or are not used properly at the right time, at the right quantity, you know, they get into the environment. And one of the things that they do is also to affect non-target organisms. So, of course, when you spray chemicals into the water bodies, it's going to kill, you know, aquatic life. When you spray chemicals onto the soil, it's going to kill the ecological life. You know, even chemicals in the air, it's also a big problem for, you know, air quality and so on and so forth. So with the IPM that we are talking about, greatly, it's helping us to, that if it's well adopted, you know, and well integrated into our farming systems, then of course the use of the chemicals, you know, in this agricultural production systems will help us to also protect or reduce the contamination or the pollution that we have, you know, when it comes to the environment, the segments of the environment, i.e. the soil, the water, and also the air. And of course, also the public, you know, aspect. You know, with the reduction of chemicals also, then you are also reducing pesticide residues in food. And therefore, once people eat products or produce or commodities that are less, with less residues or even zero residues, then of course we're also protecting, you know, our health in general. And if the human being's health is protected, and of course the whole environment is also what is also protected. So that is how the IPM is, you know, is helping. And then you see, once you promote IPM also, you're also promoting the ecological systems, you know, like the organisms would flourish, you know, because they have, there's no pressure on them, you know, so they also flourish. And then the ecosystem is also maintained, and therefore, you know, our whole environment is also, you know, the quality of the environment is also enhanced.
Well, if you just tuned in, this is the City Business Edition on 97.3 City FM with me, Ni Lati Lati. Today, our conversation is centered on integrated pest management, and we are understanding this particular subject matter to help shape crop protection. And just as we've been telling you, this is an initiative, the Plantwise Plus initiative by the Center for Agriculture and Biosciences International, CABI. They're embarking on this initiative to help Ghana predict, prevent, and prepare itself for plant health threats, thereby ensuring that farmers reduce their crop losses and also produce the quantity and quality of food that we require, and improve the food that is grown in the face of the changing climate. And helping us with today's discussion are our friends from the Ministry of Food and Agriculture, as well as the Environmental Protection Agency. Joseph Edmond is Director, Chemicals Control and Management Center, the EPA. Copperfield Banini is Deputy Director, Plant Protection and Regulatory Services Directorate of the Ministry of Food and Agriculture. And we're understanding integrated pest management. Get some insight or knowledge on what IPM is, how different it is from the local way of protecting plants against threat of pests, and also the kind of interventions that Ghana has adopted in terms of ensuring that we maintain food safety and also protect the ecology. But even as we continue the conversation on key strategies to reduce the risk of pest infestation, I mean, the issue of training, education can never be out of the conversation. because whatever we talk about, we must test and get to know for ourselves if the farmers who are the center of crop production have the requisite knowledge in terms of integrated pest management for the purposes of this specific conversation that we are having. And so, Copperfield, just tell me, are farmers getting the right education, training? If so, which specific education or training are they getting? Or what services is the ministry offering them?
Thank you. I would say that our farmers are getting the requisite training and education. Just that the staffing of agri extension officers, they are the main channel through which information gets to the farmers. They are not, the numbers are not large enough to match with the farmers' population. But they use other means to reach out to them. Yeah, they use this technology world we are now. They use platforms like WhatsApp and Telegram to reach out to them, and they send videos and information through these channels to them so that they are aware of what is happening. And they also engage them in group, on group basis. That's the FBOs, farmer-based organizations. So if during their meetings, extension officers are invited and they talk to them, they give them the necessary information and training that they will need. But I would say that training programs in the ministry is demand-driven. We cannot lump everybody together to give them training. Rice farmers have they operate under a different system compared to maize or cassava farmers. So the training is tailor-made to their specific needs or the problems that they have. Some time back, we organized farmer field schools for the farmers. And these farmer field schools are such that you are starting from land preparation till you harvest. So through this, farmers learn by doing, and they observe things for themselves, and they also come out with their solutions. Nobody pushes them to come out with what to do, but they themselves think outside the box and come out with solutions to manage the problem. Yeah, so these things are going on. Maize farmers, recently we trained about 120 maize farmers under the same concept, farmer field school. So they started with planting, fertilizer application and all that till harvesting time. So we've been giving them requisite training, just that resources are not available enough to match or send to every corner of this country.
How can the resources be made enough to get to the nook and crannies of the country?
That's very difficult.
Yeah, but I think also we are also innovative. You know, of course, we know that the resources are not enough. That is why we partner, we work in collaboration with other institutions, NGOs, and so on and so forth. So, as he's saying, the training, even though the regulators are doing what they can, but a lot of training is also, I know, is being given by other institutions, you know, NGOs especially, who are also within this you know, sector, agri and also environment sector, training farmers, you know, and you know, so complementing the what the regulators are also able to give out. And like he's saying, you know, there's technology. Okay, now these days people can stay at home and work, you know, because they can connect to whatever systems that are existing. So and a lot of farmers are also well sophisticated, you know. So the use of, like I said, Zoom, you know, meetings and WhatsApp and that kind of thing. You can just call somebody, you know, right now, you know, Zoom free 30 minutes. You can just give out an intervention, you know, and then that is taken. So the various technologies that are existing, we are also making use of those technologies to help you know, even though the resources are not that much, but some of them we can leverage on them to also help us to get the training and then the knowledge to the farmers.
Interesting.
So you are being innovative.
Mm. You are being innovative, you say. But I stay with you, Joseph, because I first asked you about how integrated pest management helps manage the ecosystem, the environment. But this time around, I want you to also help us appreciate really how does IPM also improve the health of, you know, the consumer.
Yeah, so when it comes to the use of pesticides and then also agriculture, is food. Food is basically everybody eat food. And one of the key things that, you know, people are very much concerned about eating food is about the pesticide residues. And we don't say that when you apply chemicals, they might never be some leftover of the chemicals in the food. But if we're able to apply the chemicals correctly and in the way they are supposed to be applied, then the expectation is that you are not going to have residue, you know, remaining in the food that we eat. And if, you know, there should be residue, and as we are talking about IPM, you know, a means of reducing the amount of chemicals that you have to use on the crops, then obviously you are also reducing the potential for residues to remain in the crops. Or even if it's IPM and you are not using the chemicals the way they should use it, that is, if it becomes the last resort that you have to use the chemicals as a last resort, and you don't use it the right way, then when it comes to protecting, you know, human health, you are not helping, you know. So the bottom line is making sure that whatever chemicals that you are using as a combination or as a part of IPM, you know, interventions, you are using the chemical the right way at the right time so that you don't have these residues, you know, in food. It's only the residues that are remaining in the food that when people eat, it affects their health. So IPM helps in reducing that. And by doing so, of course, the health is protected.
I mean, we've spoken about the health benefits, the environmental impact. I want Mr. Banini to also speak to us on the economic benefits.
Yeah, thank you. The economic benefit will come from the reduction in pesticide application. The more you buy the chemicals, the more your cost of production will go
up.
So if assuming you are formerly you were spraying about 3 or 4 times a season, now you are spraying once, the money that you use to buy these chemicals to spray for 3 times, you no more use that. You can you divert it to do something else. So in that case, the cost of production is reduced and you are gaining something. Yeah, I think that's the economic aspect of benefit IPM practitioners will be getting.
Well, we'll be ending the conversation soon, but even before we end, Copperfield, when we talk about IPM, is this standard practice for all crops? Let's exemplify or put it in context using the 3 kinds of, you know, crops that you identified early on, the mango, the maize, and the vegetables in general. Is it that when we say IPM, the process or the method cuts across every crop, or there is some kind of variations? I'm asking because I want to know if IPM practices can be tailored to different crops, different regions in the country to help deal with the specific pest and, you know, disease challenges that we are talking about.
Thank you. The IPM practices, they are not specific to crops. It can be varied. I cited the example of rice. In the rice ecosystem, the decisions you are taking will be different from maybe maize or granite or mango. So if you are dealing with mango, you have to do a baseline studies and know the challenges there. And the ecosystem or the crop environment is different from others. So you have to develop IPM practices solely for mango and other crops on specific areas, not a holistic one like you do.
So it's not like wholesale.
It's not a wholesale practice. Yes.
We've been having this conversation for the past 5 weeks. We've spoken about pesticide use, the regulation, the monitoring. We've also spoken about the role of agro dealers. We've discussed the specific existing interventions, and today we're talking about integrated pest management. Now, the last question for both of you: what is that key message for us to take home as a farmer, as a consumer, as a stakeholder or player in the agri value chain, and even to government agencies? What is the message in terms of reducing pesticide misuse?
Maybe I will take it. Our policy in terms of pest and disease management is integrated pest management. That's for the nation. So we started education on IPM for farmers, but we've not been able to reach out to the majority of the farmers who are using pesticides solely. So my advice would be that they shouldn't entirely engage on the use of pesticides. They should consult their agri extension agents so that they will show them the way, other methods of managing pests. And through this, they can integrate all the management practices so that they produce a safer food for us. And in addition to that, they themselves will be safe. They will not be contaminated, and the environment will also be safe from pesticides, overuse or misuse. Thank you.
The words of Copperfield Banini, Deputy Director, Plant Protection and Regulatory Services Directorate, Ministry of Food and Agriculture. Let's hear from you, Joseph Edmond.
Well, thank you very much, Amy. I think the issue is that so long as we have pests and diseases with us, we have to have some interventions to be able to control pests and diseases. And that means also, you know, ensuring our food security. So for us, you know, the use of chemicals or pesticides, you know, it's something that if we are not using IPM, even at the last resort, you still have to use pesticides. And as I indicated, the products are there to, are designed to maybe harm the pest. And therefore, you know, because they are designed to harm the pest, they can also harm, you know, living organisms as human beings. And therefore, if we have to use the chemicals, and to say safer, like for public health and also for the environment, then we have to follow the directions of use of those chemicals. You know, even for drugs, everybody knows that when you go to the pharmacy shop or you go to the hospital, they give you drugs, they give you directions on how you are going to use it. So in the same way, when you are going to use a product or chemical or pesticide on your farm, the label gives you all the directions and the protection that you need to be able to apply it safely for yourself and also for the environment. So if you decide not to follow the directions or apply it anyhow, then of course you are killing all of us. So what I would like to advise those users of pesticides is that, yes, if it comes to the point that you can avoid the use of pesticides, do so. But when it comes to the point that you cannot avoid the use of pesticides, and by all means you have to use a pesticide, then you have to do it in the way it has been, you know, designed to be used. Otherwise, then there's misuse, there's misapplication, and then there's the risk. Then the risk comes in. Okay, because I indicated earlier that for the hazard of the chemical, it is there. There's nothing you can do about it. But in order to reduce the risk, then you have to, of course, avoid the exposure. And in avoiding the exposure, then you have to ensure that either you are using the chemical judiciously or you are applying protective clothing when you are using the chemicals in order to protect yourselves. So that is, in brief, what I can say, you know.
All right, so we finally come to the end of it, and for me, my take home is that there's that duty of care among the public, the farmers, government agencies, regulators, and all other stakeholders. And this has been the campaign by the Center for Agriculture and Biosciences International, CABI, the Plant Wise Plus initiative, which actually delved into the issue of pesticide misuse in three key impact pathways, that's pest preparedness, farmer advisory, and pesticide risk reduction. And this whole conversation we've been having actually is to help farmers improve their yields, also the quality of their crops, and market their produce in a safe and sustainable way. The idea is also to ensure that you identify opportunities for pesticide risk reduction and implement solutions, increase awareness and availability of affordable integrated pest management and safer crop protection alternative for harmful chemical pesticides. Now I want to give the final words to Mr. Copperfield Banini, the overall pest boss in Ghana, I'm told.
Thank you. I would like to advise our farmers not to resort to the use of pesticides alone. They can also use extract, plant extract. Neem, for instance, it's very good for farmers to use. They can pound and save it and use on the farms. We have prepared or formulations also in the market. They can also go for it. When they are using this, there's no need for them to probably worry about chemical contamination, the environment or whatever. So farmers are advised to use neem extract and other plant extract. Recently, about 6,000 of our farmers have been trained on the use of neem extract alongside the use of biorational chemicals. Thank you.
All right. Thank you to Mr. Copperfield Banini. And that is a free advice over there. I'm not sure you are going to find it anywhere on the internet or in any textbook. Thank you once again, Copperfield Banini, Deputy Director, Plant Protection and Regulatory Services Directorate, Ministry of Food and Agriculture, as well as Joseph Edmond, Director, Chemicals Control and Management Center, Environmental Protection Agency. It's a wrap. Thank you for staying with us this long. My name is Ni Lati Lati. Do enjoy the rest of the program.
Sweet girl, my girl, I can see all your joy. I can see the world for you and the world for me. But I have to say, please wait
until I get my new car.
Please wait
until I find my real side.
I'm gonna get me some love, love somebody. La 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 la.
This is the City Breakfast Show, the city's biggest conversation. The City Breakfast Show. Rise above the noise.
It's Friday, April 12th. Welcome and many thanks for choosing 97.3 City FM. I am Bernard Abeku-Ortre. This is Kickoff on CBS. Let's settle for the details. Now, a representative of volunteers for the 2023 African Games Protocol and Ceremony Session, Seydou Abdoulaye Damba, believes the high volume of data authorities have to deal with is likely the reason behind the delay in payment of allowances to volunteers for the recently ended African Games. Speaking in an exclusive interview with City Sport in the wake of controversies connected to allowance payments to volunteers, Damba says sorting through the high volume of data submitted by volunteers for verification could possibly be the reason for the delay in payment.
I want to believe because of the huge volume of numbers that the managers are dealing with, that's basically why there seems to be a delay or something of that sort. But I believe as and when they are convinced that the data at their disposal actually reflects what they have in their system, they will definitely proceed with payment.
You heard the latest from Seydou Abdoulaye Damba, who is a representative of the Volunteers for the 2023 African Games Protocol and Ceremonies section. Tusam Weightlifting and Ghanaian weightlifter Winfred Ntumi has disclosed that she pocketed $7,000 from her impressive performance at the recently concluded 13th African Games. The 21-year-old secured 3 medals for Ghana in the 49-kilogram snatch and clean and jerk categories, you know, clinching 2 silver medals and a gold in the overall 49kg category at the GCB Hall of the University of Ghana. During an interview on The Day Show with host Belamundi, Ntumi expressed her gratitude for the support she received from Team Ghana, including backing from the Ghana Olympic Committee, which aided her participation in various tournaments.
Well, I mean, having the support from my family, let me say my mom and dad.
Your mom and dad are still helping you?
Yes, they are still helping me.
Is this a career for you?
Yes, so full time.
This is full time, so you should be making money from it.
Yeah, but instead, I lose. I only get money when I go for games, for instance, like this.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not games and it's championship, there is no money in it.
So let's say for gold, I don't mean to pry, but if you don't mind telling us, so for winning 3 medals like this, you're making money off it?
Yes.
Is it a lot of money enough to sustain you?
Yeah.
How much are you making, if I may ask?
Okay. For the gold, for instance, when you win gold medal, you get $3,000.
$3,000. Yes. Okay.
If you win silver, $2,000. Uh-huh. And if you win bronze, that's $1,000.
2, 4.
Perfect. We already have money.
Oh, that's the latest with Ghanaian weightlifter Winifred Ntumi. Away from there in the Ghana Premier League, as Antico Tokoto's winless run in the Ghana Premier League, of course, continued as they suffered a defeat to Nsoatreman last night. The Porcupine Warriors fell to a 2-1 defeat at the Babayaro Sports Stadium, with Maxo Kunedu's side scoring a late winner in the game. Let's move from there. In the Europa League, Jonas Hofmann and Victor Boniface came off the bench to unlock West Ham and Bayern Leverkusen a late 2-0 victory in the first leg of the Europa League quarterfinals. Well, at Anfield, Liverpool faced a huge battle to stay in the Europa League after suffering a shock home defeat to Atlanta in the quarterfinal first leg at Anfield. Well, interestingly, a brace from Gianluca Scamacca and a goal from Mario Pasalic won the game for the Italian side. We hear from Liverpool's Virgil van Dijk describing the night as disappointing.
Virgil, what happened out there tonight?
Defeat. Obviously it's half time, but 3-0 down is it's not great, and very disappointing evening, of course, and I think too many individual mistakes, and we got punished for it, and yeah, this feels bad.
You heard the latest from the Liverpool captain Virgil van Dijk. Well, Gianluca Mancini's header sealed a 1-0 win for Roma over AC Milan in the Europa League quarterfinals first leg at the San Siro. Oh, that's your sports this morning on Kickoff. We are back at 5 p.m. with more sports and content. In the meantime, you can head to citysportsonline.com for more. On X, we are at City Sport Gene H.A. Kickoff is proudly brought to you by Shell and LeShell. I am Ben. Not a baker or tree. Sport is life. Get involved.
This is the City Breakfast Show. The city's biggest conversation. The City Breakfast Show. Rise above the noise.
This is City 97.3.
It's 9 after 8. Odomu Enije, Dada Katie. Odomu Enije. No, I love it. Happy birthday to Obed Riafe of Platinum Montessori School. Ablekuman Fan Milk. The world is a better place because you are in it. May you be surrounded with an overwhelming amount of love as you walk in God's love. This is from your parents, Mr. and Mrs. Riafe, and your siblings, Sherry and Macarius Riafe. Happy birthday to the love of my life. Your kindness, your wisdom, and unwavering support make every day brighter. May this year bring you all the happiness, love, and success you deserve. Here's to creating more wonderful memories together. Cheers to you, my darling. This is from Honorable Patrick Kumo to Mrs. Esther Kumo. Esther Kumo. Patrick Kumo, so woman who don't win it. And cheers to more of this with you. But yesterday was a holiday, and after the City Breakfast Show, Nathan, you won't believe it, I had a good time.
Oh, I see.
No, I had a good time. So I went to the Legon Botanical Gardens.
I see.
There is a part of the gardens that was so refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
It had trees as tall as 3-story buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And it created a very cool ambience, like very, very cool ambience. Mm. And you know, they have a dam in their botanical gardens called the Vulcan Dam. Okay. So they've tried to create canals through the garden so that wherever you are, part of the water is flowing mm-hmm. there. And it has this still peaceful effect it has on you. It creates this ambience like an oasis. It was shocking, like just after you come out of the garden and the heat meets you like that. And so throughout my journey from the Legon Botanical Gardens back to wherever else I was going, I was wondering, isn't there any part of town, like the central business district, like within the city, where we can plant a critical mass of trees, mm-hmm. like trees whose roots will not sort of sip down the road and cause breakages mm-hmm. and things like that, where these trees can create a shade that will serve both as a windbreak, a place where people can sit and recreate and reflect and refresh, you know, parts of the town. I was just wondering, I was thinking about the Tetekwasi interchange, for example. You see the top there where if you're coming from the N1,
mm-hmm.
then you have to get towards the Medina Accra Highway
mm-hmm.
where you have the bus stop. All that place is bush. And then you have some huge billboards over there. I was thinking that would be a very nice place. And then where the Villaggio is, all that yard is just empty. There's nothing going on there. Sometimes people go there to defecate and do all kinds of mm-hmm. things. I feel there are some specific trees that if we plant in these areas, we could have, you know, what they call lovers benches there, and it will be a good place for people to just recreate, and it will generally help our ecosystem. A good example, right, is where the Octagon is. So in between Octagon and the Ministry of Roads and Highways, when you're going to, there's a very small yard, and they have, I don't know if the trees are case here, but they have these trees there, and the lawns are popping. The lawns there are well manicured, very well taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And they have these seats where people could just sit and relax and have a good time. I mean, it's a Friday and I'm really thinking about how we can make this, our city, more livable, you know.
Well, it's
thinking about how I can export the experience I had in the Legon Botanical Gardens across the city.
Well, that's something that's in the court of the land use and, you know, the people at LUSPA, land use and, you know, zoning, that kind of thing. Because when...
Special planning.
Because it's important that when you are crafting a city, you need to find ways of keeping that city going in terms of all the modernity, the hustle and bustle. But that city also needs to find a way of keeping people centered, leveled, balanced, and refreshed. Yeah. Because Accra... Accra has changed. Accra is a lot of concrete now. Yeah. Lots of buildings are coming up and all. We don't have spaces where people can just go and sit.
And even the water bodies are also polluted.
And taking fresh air. People can't find places to sit and read now. Ooh. If you leave your house and you say you want somewhere quiet to read, you essentially have to go to a cafe, yeah, a restaurant
where there's a lot of noise,
that kind of thing. Even if the noise is turned down,
yeah,
it will cost you something. Yeah. So I feel that as a city, we need to think about all of that very well.
Nathan, I want our listeners to help us with places where they envision that we could, you know, plant a critical mass of trees that would create a shade. What I'm describing that I saw at the Legon Botanical Garden is that we can have part of that spread all across the city. So that's what I want you to help me with, listeners. The text, the WhatsApp line is 0549-986-996, 0549-986-996. So that's a big conversation that I really want us to have today, because what I experienced at the Legon Botanical Gardens, I want to experience close enough to my office, close enough to where I live, and even along the routes where I move. I want to have, you know, You'll be walking through the place and there are sections where the trees have literally canopied the entire area. And there are places in Accra that you could say had such effect, like the Lagos Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it still does, but with the gentrification where people are just felling trees and building anyhow, anywhere, they've been felling a lot of these trees. So I am envisioning a greener city. I am looking forward to a greener city where a greener city is clearly a city that has better air quality and all of that. Yeah. So this is up for conversation. I have seen some of your birthday dedications, so I'll be doing them shortly. In the meantime, if you're ready to power your finances and unlock your path to prosperity, ready to watch your investment grow with confidence, Lesheho Fixed Deposit Solution is your best option. With Lesheho's Fixed Deposit Solution, you are not just investing, you are making your money work harder for you so you can watch your wealth grow. Don't settle for average returns. Join the investment revolution with our Fixed Deposit Solution and take charge of a financial future. I mean, call us on 0270040799. Or send us a WhatsApp on 0270040733 to learn more. The clock is ticking. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity. Invest wisely. Invest with Lesheho. Lesheho, let's improve life. And the Zenith Fun Form promo is on. Sign up for a Zenith free Zenith MasterCard from now until April 30, 2024 at any Zenith Bank branch nationwide and enjoy up to 2 free deliveries each month when you use your card on Global from now until October 20, 2024. With a Zenith MasterCard, you can conveniently make everyday purchases on a POS device, withdraw funds from ATMs and pay your goods and services online. Get your free Zenith MasterCard from the nearest Zenith Bank branch today and enjoy this amazing offer. Visit www.zenithbank.com.gh for more information. Terms and conditions apply. Zenith Bank in your best interest.
Now, did you know that 259 stories are born every minute? Yes, 259 unique stories that matter, including yours. Your story can shape the world, and it is powerful. And we are inspired by all these stories, and your story has just begun. We invite you to write yours with us. Your story matters. Absa Bank.
In all of this world's craziness and madness, with all of our human efforts, listen, there is a place for God's intervention. And so one of the things we take very seriously is family life and prayer. Oh, yes. He said that men ought to always pray and not to faint. And that's why I am happy to invite, Osofo into the studio. Reverend Mauli Chikata, Mau Fama.
Yes, sir.
Osofo, good morning. Now, as we see you on a Friday morning, it means that in the Gbagboma, something good is happening for us. Osofo, what is happening?
Good morning to you.
Good to see you.
Good morning to our listeners.
Yeah, man. I like your smile this morning.
Caleb.
Yeah. What are you seeing?
It is well. I like your nice suit.
Thank you. Yeah. I like your political shirt.
It is well. Yes, indeed.
So you're welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
It's a Friday morning.
Yes.
And usually I listen to you earlier in the day.
Yes.
We hear you earlier in the day, and these days you've been dealing with some very vexed matters.
Mm.
But as we are seeing you this morning, it means that there's something good happening.
Yes. The good news is that, as we've always done for over a decade now, every 1st of May, we come together as families, and then we pray and seek God's intervention and God's blessings for our families.
Right.
So on the 1st of May this year, 2024, it's a Wednesday and it's a holiday.
Nice.
We're going to have the family consecration service again this year.
I love it.
So I'm just here to let you know that the family consecration service
is happening.
It's happening.
I love it.
And this year, we're going to have it at the Royal House Chapel, the Oil Dome.
The Oil Dome.
Yes, right. At the Obetebilamte runabout. That's where it's going to happen this year. It's going to be a great time in the presence of the Lord, as we've always had. As scripture says, men always ought to pray and not faint.
Yeah.
And the apostle writing to the church in Thessalonica says, pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
And he concludes by saying, for this is the will of God.
So
it is God's will that we pray.
Mm.
And so when you find yourself in a place of prayer, you know that you are fulfilling God's will.
Mm.
And there's a wise man who said, if there's a man to pray, then there is a God to answer.
Mm.
And we believe that God answers prayers. And that's why every year we bring families together to seek the face of the Lord.
What are some of the testimonies that come out of this corporate prayer? But before you even talk about the testimonies, there are those who say, I have a personal prayer life, so I don't see the point in attending a massive gathering where people are all praying. So let's talk about the power of corporate prayer. I was at last year's, in the last 10 years I've been to all, right? But last year in particular, there was something very charged about last year's service. But let me just let you talk to us about the relevance of corporate prayer.
There's the place for your personal prayer life, and there's that place where God encourages us, the scriptures encourages us to gather together to pray.
Mm.
And we see that throughout the Old Testament, in the New Testament, where the instruction to the priest or the prophet is to gather the people together to seek the face of the Lord.
Mm.
In the New Testament, Jesus asks his disciples not to move away from Jerusalem, but gather together and wait for the promise of the Spirit.
Right.
And even in the New Testament, there were times where when an apostle was attacked, they came together, they prayed for Peter, they prayed for James.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is that time where we gather together to pray. And what this does for us is that there is that level of fellowship and encouragement, seeing your brother pray. And you are also encouraged by that scene to also go before the Lord and pray. And you see, sometimes when we are praying alone, we tend to be selfish. But in our family consecration service, we look at areas that ordinarily you may not even be looking at,
while you're
looking
praying
out for while you are praying for yourself. So it gives us that opportunity to also lead people in this direction. And at the family consecration service too, we pray for our nation, Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're praying alone, Hardly would you find Christians actually dealing with such issues. But when we gather together, the focus goes into some of these right. areas.
As he said, pray for the nation into which I've sent you into yes. exile. For yeah. when pray for its peace and prosperity. Yeah. Because when it prospers, you too shall prosper.
Amen.
Now let's talk about the testimonies that have come out from this service, right? Over the years, we have spoken to people who have traveled all the way from Boko, Navrongo,
from the US,
Western
from the
region,
UK,
all over
from
the world,
Canada.
Attending the family yeah. consecration service. Yeah. What are some of the testimonies these people share with you through this fellowship of prayer?
It is just to tell us that God's grace is at work and God's power is at work. And like the psalmist said, I inclined my ears to the Lord. And I prayed to the Lord and he inclined his ears to me and mm. he answered mm. my prayer. And so these testimonies that come confirm the fact that what we do is of God and God truly answers prayers. Mm. We've had testimonies of families that have been brought together, the unity in families. Mm. We've had healings happening by mm. the grace of God and by the mercies of God. People have come with strange illness, diseases that have seen God's power at work in their lives. Mm. Some of the areas we focus on is mm. also the family financial issues. Mm-hmm. We pray about breakthroughs, opportunities that God will give people opportunities mm-hmm. to bless the works of their hands. Mm-hmm. And we've received testimony. We
so
receive
praying
testimony.
For people's businesses.
Yes, we receive testimonies in these areas mm. as well. So every year when we gather to pray, there are testimonies to show that indeed God answers prayers.
And last year in particular, the expectation was huge.
Yeah.
A lot of people came forward with their documents, yeah. very vital assets.
Yeah.
They were praying very fervently
yeah.
and all of that, which is very interesting. But this year we are going to the Oil Dome,
mm.
much bigger.
Yes, much bigger than where we were before, yeah. but it is not because of the size.
Okay.
It is because there are some new developments that will not allow us to okay. use the old venue or okay. where we've been using mm. over these years. Mm. There's some new development. So we've had to change the venue.
Okay.
And in changing the venue, we were looking for a place that is easily accessible
central
for people,
location.
Central, yes, and it's within the same radius.
Right.
So we called on the Apostle General mm. Sam Krantiankra,
right.
and he gladly mm. Offered the place mm. For us. So I want to use this opportunity to say thank you to the Apostle General Reverend Sam Krantiankra,
right.
to the leadership of the Royal House
Fantastic
Chapel.
Stuff.
It was such. It wasn't any difficult. We placed the call. They said, no problem.
Straight away.
You can have access to it. Mm. And so we are grateful to the church. And it shows how interdenominational this prayer gathering is. Because mm. it's not about church. It's
right.
not about...
It's a
family of believers brethren. Coming together, mm. bringing families together
mm.
to pray. And it's because we are very family-oriented
mm.
in our broadcasting.
Right.
So even in our morning devotion, this is your day. It's family centered.
Yeah.
We encourage people, wake yeah. the family members up, yeah. bring them together, bring the children together. Let's have devotion.
One of the topics that was handled last year that I cannot forget
yeah.
was family offense.
Yeah.
I think Reverend Awintia
yes.
led that. I mean,
yes.
after the marathon prayers, Reverend Awintia led us to do the family offense, and you could tell that a lot of people were opening themselves up. People
yeah.
had held on to offenses for
yeah.
so long,
yeah.
and that moment was a very relieving moment for them. And then this year, I see that through the seasons of prayer,
yeah.
you focused on that also. And yeah. some of the things I've been hearing are wild, man.
Yeah, so talking about seasons of prayer, from last year,
yeah.
we decided that as a build up towards the family consecration service,
yeah.
we'll dedicate the whole month of April.
Right.
For prayer.
Okay.
So during the seasons of prayer, we pray at midnight
mm-hmm.
for 1 hour. So from midnight to 1 a.m.,
right.
we are here to pray with families.
Right.
From 4 to 6 a.m. in the morning during our normal This Is
right.
Your Day, we come again to pray.
And then at midday.
With families. And then at midday. So
right.
there are three seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Midnight, 4
Early
to 6
morning.
a.m. and then midday, we also pray for families. So we are continuing the same seasons of prayer for this year. So
mm.
we began last week praying for families. And last week we were praying for family businesses, opportunities, people who are jobless, just asking God to to bless the works of our hands and create opportunities for people. And this week, our focus has been on family unity. And that's what you're talking about offenses that people are holding on to against each other. And even the couples. Testimonies, yes, couples. I mean, if you listen to the prayer time and asking people to let go of offenses and forgive and allow God to have his way in their lives, and people sending in messages of some of the terrible decisions that they are taking against their loved family ones. Members and loved ones. Wow. And through this prayer, there's been reverse of decisions. Wow. We can only thank God for what he's doing already ahead of what we are going to do in the family consecration service. So this next week, we are going to continue with praying for single parents, widows, people who are struggling and taking care of their children. We have people, single parents who are taking care of children with disability. So these are the areas we're going to look at for the coming week. And the week leading to the family consecration service, we're going to look at family health, praying for God's intervention, for healing, and things like that. So it's going to be a great time. If you're listening to us, join us. 12 midnight, we come for 1 hour. 4 a.m., we come your way again. And then at 12 noon, the one at 12 noon is on Facebook.
Okay.
So that one, we pray online. Facebook. Yes, online.
Right.
But it is all as a build-up towards the family consecration service, which is on the 1st of May. It's a Wednesday. It's a holiday. And we are encouraging families to prepare themselves and join us at the Oil Dome, Royal House Chapel International at Obechebi Lamte Runabout.
One of the moments from last year that I cannot forget was during the praise session. who are the guys who do the singing, because they are amazing.
So we are grateful to the Cedar Mountain Chapel Choir.
Okay.
Over the years, they've been the choir that has supported us greatly at the family consecration service. And then we have our very own Edinam Bright Davis.
Oh my word.
Who also leads us in prayer. And this year, Frema was whispering to me that we're going to have Sisi Beidou join us.
Pastor Sisi Beidou.
Yes, join us for the family consecration service.
Amazing.
So we are grateful to the Cedar Mountain Chapel Choir.
I love it.
And they are going to be there this year as well.
I look forward to them.
Lead us in a time of praise.
Now, this song will bring some memories to you. This is, let me just drop it and then we'll consider the
conversation. Joy overflow.
This is it. So we have to do this one again. You should see Pastor Mauli on the dance floor last year with this song. He was jumping with his handkerchief. I said, somebody hold him for me. So that was one of the highlights of last year for me, when this song was blasting and you were dancing, jumping with your handkerchief. I hope we do it again this year. Because I've never seen you dance. That was my first time seeing you dance.
In his presence, there's fullness of joy.
Thank you.
Yes, so we have to celebrate the goodness of the Lord.
It's very important.
Yes.
It's very important. Who are some of the men of God who will be joining us for this year's...
So, as always, the City FM pastors will be with us. Yes. We are led by Reverend Dr. Stephen Yanuso Mwengam, who is the General Superintendent of the Assemblies of God, yes, Ghana. He'll be around to lead us in a time of prayer.
Right.
Reverend Fred Niyemo. Mm. I need to add the Niyemo. It's very important. Reverend Fred Niyemo, yes. McCarthy Davis,
yes,
will be around to lead us in prayer.
Okay.
Reverend Michael Kwame.
Oh, Noah Fire for fire.
Will be around to also lead us in prayer. Reverend Andrews Nelson Awintia will be there. There are two Maulis. The senior one, Reverend Mauli Benson, will be there to lead us in prayer.
Right.
And by the grace of God, I'll also be there to lead us in a time of prayer.
Fantastic.
And the family consecration service is very key because it kickstarts our activities for the family month in the month of May. So there are a lot of things around the family that will be happening in the month of May on City 97.3 FM.
Right.
And so the family consecration is what we use to kickstart a family event.
Fantastic.
Yes.
I like it. Thank you for joining us, Reverend Mauli Chikata. He is a radio pastor here. Yes, and Final One.
Final One, still saying thank you to the leadership of Royal House Chapel for giving us the opportunity to use the Oil Dome for this year's family consecration service.
Fantastic.
And we'd like to encourage all families listening to us this morning, join us. It's prayer time. We start at 6, we end at 12, and we stick to time. And last year, for instance, by 6:30, the place was full.
It was full.
The place was packed. Really the was. Place was full. So if you're coming, make come sure early. That you come early, plan, save your fare. If you're coming by public transport, save your transport fare and join us for a time of prayer in the presence of the Lord. God bless you. And
there is no way. That was Pastor Mauli Chikata. Join us for the family consecration service. Amazing stuff happening. Massive testimonies. You don't want to miss it. Join us, share in the joy, and pray for our families, our nation, its people, its leaders, our businesses. It's going to be a massive one. In the meantime, Nathan has some announcements for you, and then we come back to my conversation for this morning. I'm looking for places in Accra where we can plant a critical mass of trees, because then the ones we've been doing, the annual ones we've been doing that are spread across, you know, I've been looking for them. But Nathan, you have some announcements
well,
for us.
Yeah, Standard Water is a trusted water brand. If you want quality water to drink, then Standard Water is a brand you should consider. They are in 11 regions and they are expanding. They have over 25 years of experience, so that should count for something. Call them on 0202-055-703 or 0547-334-385, and this ad is FDA approved. Now, Solartech is your tried and trusted brand. When it comes to protecting your gadgets, they are giving you the AVS 30, which is ideal for motorized equipment, especially water pumps and air conditioners. Solartech is offering a massive 30% discount on the AVS 30. Get to Solartech in Abelenkpe on the 10 Yiyuwa Street or call them on 0302-761-450 or 0302-775-106 or send them an email sales@solartechghana.com.gh. Solartech is the power to protect.
That's right. And if you are a young Ghanaian seeking stable and fulfilling employment, look no further than Ghana Grows Program, brought to you by the Mastercard Foundation in collaboration with Springboard Roadshow Foundation and Limehouse. Ghana Grows ignites hope and guides you towards career opportunities in agriculture, agribusiness, technical and vocational skills. Whether you're 25 or 35 years old, male or female, this program equips you with the skills to thrive, gain access to career guidance, counseling, and essential skills training. Join us and
contribute to Ghana's growth through careers in agriculture, and ATVET Ejuma Wakum Embrace Agric and ATVET Careers with Ghana Grows, an initiative of MasterCard Foundation with partnership with Springboard Roadshow Foundation and Limehouse. For more information, call us on 0308255775. And listen, continue to save extra 30,000 Ghana cedis when you purchase VW Tijuana Allspace. Take advantage now, drive Ghana, drive Volkswagen. Hurry while stocks last. T's and C's apply. Contact VW Ghana now on 025-795-6688. So back to our conversation, and listeners, I'm inviting you again to this one, 0549-986-996. Places in Accra that we can grow more trees to create shades, a critical mass of, I want to call them tree hubs. Let's have tree hubs in the city where we can go and sit, the old folks can go and take walks, you know, expectant mothers, mothers with their babies can go and push their babies in their, you know, that thing. And people can generally sit and recreate. And, you know, I'm looking for something like that. And then also, this one just came to my mind. If you have a place you've noticed in town, in the city, where the trees are being cleared critically, I'm talking about public spaces where trees are all going down, you think that we need to help arrest, you can add those details. And I'm more than happy to share them with the world. And let's see how we can work together to, you know, green the city some more, because the heat is unbearable. And we are learning that the heat wave, the heat stress is going to continue. Richard Sky is back in the studio. Let me welcome you now. Welcome, Sky.
Thank you, my brother. How are you?
And yeah, I'm okay. All I've been saying is that last yesterday after the show,
yeah,
I went to the Legon Botanical Gardens, mm-hmm, and I spent some time there.
That's a beautiful just place.
Sitting down, watching the dam. You know, the wind was so gentle. When it blows over the river, it sends some ripples across it. Very gentle. And it was very sunny too. Mm-hmm. But because of the trees and the leaves, the shade they created, the sun penetrates through the leaves, hits the river, the dam that is moving with ripples gently, and it's reflected on the leaves. You would think it's smoke on it. I don't know if you've observed that kind of thing. These are the moments that Albert Einstein used to develop those, his theories and things. But I mean, when I was there, I didn't get any theory. I just got a yearning and a burning desire to have the rest of the city as green and as calm and as tranquil and serene. You know, in the UK, you find a lot of people spending time in gardens. There are public parks and gardens in almost every locality. Even their cemeteries, you could sit there and recreate and just while away time, because there are trees, and that also makes it happen that you find birds all over the place, squirrels and all that. But we seem to be clearing everywhere, and I want to see more spaces in the heart of the city where it's that green.
I share your frustration, because it is something that we have talked about on this platform, you know, repeatedly. You made a reference to the UK, and I'm compelled to go back to Buckingham during my time there. Pursuing a law in the UK, in a new country, in a new territory, was particularly difficult. Most times the inspiration I got was my own background, poverty chasing you all over the place, and the edge to want to help society when eventually you step out of law school and help impact the world in a truly positive way. And beyond that is stepping out to the riverside in the greens.
Yeah. Taking walks.
Just walking
solitary
along the
river. Walks.
Sometimes standing and listening to the sounds generated.
Of the chirping birds.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
And you have the swans also. When they are doing their things, those things inspire you. You're seeing the beauty of nature. They calm you down. They remind you that, look, even in the midst of chaos, there's a place where you can go for you know, tranquility,
yeah,
for peace of mind, to be able to think. There are solutions that you look, you can look at the computer for a million years, you will not get it.
You will not get that break.
When you take that 20 minute or 15
minute
break, it just replenishes
your brains.
You stand by the river,
oh, man,
and you're watching either the fishes or people doing their, is it kayaking you call it?
Yes, kayaking.
Uh-huh. And or something, you know, on a bench close by and reading. You know, or families not far away, running around, doing all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Those things give you the capacity to be able to rethink through the problems that you are dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go back and you apply them seamlessly. But for some reason, we have not been able to repeat things like that. I can speak of what's still happening at Legon,
mm-hmm,
because so many years after it was built,
mm-hmm,
I think Legon largely has maintained,
yeah,
the environmental greenness or purity,
yeah,
that you can find anywhere else in the world. Of course, you go to Gimpa too.
Mm.
It is a Green Hill College.
Oh, Gibson.
Exactly.
You mean, as our tenants, you are living what we... You are living up to our ideas.
That's okay.
As you our tenants.
That's okay. I will forgive you for that.
No, there's no forgiveness. It's a matter of fact. You know.
It is a truly beautiful, yeah, green,
yeah,
you see there. The trees have been largely maintained. When you're walking from the main gate,
yes,
towards the school proper, you would have shade.
This is canopy, natural, mm-hmm, canopy,
exactly,
made of trees.
Yes, because a deliberate decision was taken to maintain the virginity and the purity of that particular space. But for some reason, you go to spaces where you expect that they would know better, they just go cutting everything down.
Yep.
I was talking recently about the parliament. You know, when, yeah, you first of all drive into parliament, you see the main entrance, you see the canopy
avenue
of trees.
Trees, yes.
Exactly, you see them, beautiful. Of course, every now and then they do pruning, which,
mm-hmm,
is allowed.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go towards the chamber block proper, between the speaker's block and then the chamber block, you had some really tall trees there. For some reason, it occurred to someone to go and chop them down. So those trees have been felled.
Have they been replaced?
Not at all. You go to the back, of course, some, you know, interventions have been made there too. Some trees, you know, taken down. Now you ask yourself, trees that had been, you know, planted for
several years.
I don't even know how old they are. Then you go in. In fact, as we speak, there's a technology that allows for relocation of trees.
There is.
Yes. So it's like a huge plant, you see. You move the plant, you know, they are able to reach to the depths of the earth.
The very roots.
Exactly. And to take
everything
out.
Everything is uprooted.
Exactly. Without doing damage to the tree in any shape or form.
I think that technology has been deployed at the National Cathedral site.
Okay.
Where some of these neem trees, mm-hmm, and generational trees that have been there for 50, 30 years plus were actually uprooted, mm-hmm, in that way and relocated elsewhere.
Yes.
I think that has happened here, and we can do that too.
Yeah, so if the technology is there,
yeah,
and it makes sense to do it because it is cost effective in the long run,
yeah,
it doesn't make sense that we still go pull up, you know, hacksaws and all kinds of things, and we are killing all the trees we find along city highways. When you're driving to the cathedral or from the cathedral,
yeah,
right? Is it not beautiful?
The site for the cathedral? Or
no,
you're
no,
talking about the Holy Spirit
the Holy
cathedral?
The Holy Spirit's cathedral.
Oh my goodness.
Bro, if the sun is burning you,
no matter how
when you
scorching
get there,
it is, Charlie, it's so refreshing.
Yes!
That's true.
You know, true. I think the examples are many.
Yeah.
Many, many examples of why it works and why we should not just go off on a tirade, taking down every tree we see merely because we want to put up a building.
Mm.
Recently, I was talking about after OIC,
mm-hmm,
where I formerly served as a student or enrolled as a student, East Legon, there is a popular restaurant and hotel there.
Okay.
We call it Villandro.
Okay.
Yes. Before you get to the traffic light, it's to the left.
Mm.
A beautiful place. The shade's awesome. And the brother who does, who handles the place is Kofi, forgot the Kwame Sow.
Right.
He's done a fine job by maintaining the green cover of that space.
Yeah.
Planting some of the trees, yeah, or most of them himself.
Yeah.
But out of nowhere, recently, he made a post about some contractor or someone who said he was developing a space close by, deciding to move in on the trees or some of the trees and taking them down, allegedly. Now, you ask yourself, why do we just go off on missions like this without paying proper attention to the possible damage we're doing to the environment? It is completely unacceptable. And if you go through our laws, there are rigid requirements you have got to meet when you want to go to cut down a tree. Majority of the times, almost on all occasions, we do not observe these rules. People just pull up cutlasses, machetes, they take hacksaws and chainsaws, and they are doing so much damage to the environment. And neighbors are most likely not going to complain, and they think
when
that
they
it is
even
fair.
Do, nothing is going to happen.
Exactly. So. It is just wrong. Meanwhile, we have the EPA, we have the Forestry Commission, and they have also been a part of the problem, largely. I mean, you heard what happened at the Forestry Commission. Spaces where they should not even grant licenses for people to go and do illegal mining or small-scale mining, they are doing them. Our forest reserves, which we have kept for so many years, centuries, for want of, because we are looking for money, so much greed, people are allowing these spaces to be encroached.
So Sky,
and then our own misconduct as a people. If you live in an environment where you have forest cover, the river is pure enough to drink from. When the older people tell you about how if they were walking to the Achim areas of old, or you are walking through Ashanti region or parts of the Volta region, you could go near the river, fetch the river, and drink without any problems. Right? But go to the Western region today. Go to the rivers in the Ashanti region today. To the rivers in the Chebbi areas today. Right? For some reason, we have been so irresponsible as a people, as leaders in this country, as traditional leaders in this country, as opinion leaders, what do you call it, imams and pastors, so much greed, irresponsibility, allowing us to watch these things get destroyed without making conscious efforts to hold people responsible. And it is just embarrassing, completely unacceptable. And very recently, if we were not shouting, by now, the Achimota Forest, which is easily the biggest green space and cover for us here in the Greater Accra region, would have been decimated. And it is not as if the people with evil minds seeking to take it down have gone to sleep. Yeah. I am sure every single day, they are working day in, day out.
Lurking around.
At night, just so they will see a reason and space to take out that vast green space. Look, recently I went to a friend's office and I stood on the 10th floor. And I looked at that green space. You know, when you look at the Achimota forest, I don't know what
From a bedside.
Refreshing.
You know, that will give you inspiration.
Yeah.
That is a thing to look up to when you are hot.
Yeah.
So many things going through your mind and you need a solution. When you look at the greens, the birds moving about, bro, you would think properly. But here, look at the spaces. Accra, Accra Poly. Yes, there are some trees there. But the space is basically a concrete jungle.
Yeah.
If a student
Accra
wants to think, to invent,
Accra,
where does he go?
Accra is now a concrete jungle.
Right?
Yeah.
It is completely unacceptable. And we cannot continue like this. On the road towards the Burma camp,
yeah,
I was complaining the last time. Jerry Rawlings, of blessed memory, you know, a great conservationist.
Yeah.
Raise issues about that. For some reason, somebody woke up one day, we are going to do the road again. Let's say we are going to redo the road. So it makes sense because previously, if you drove on that path, green cover, just like you'll find around the 37 military hospital area. But it was someone's brilliant mind to cut down those trees because they said they were going to redo the road. And so when you get to the Lands Commission area, a beautiful new office has been built, yet you don't find any shades around.
So I'm looking for spaces and alleys, avenues in the city that we can plant trees and green all over again, that we can do this in a critical mass, in a way that we can call them green hubs, green belts, green spaces in our city. I'm using the Legon Botanical Gardens as an example. Of course, most of the trees there have been planted, many more also wild, but how can we just replicate this across the place? And I'm looking for spaces that we can do this in a very precise and measured way so that we can see some result. And most of these trees, they don't require so many years to even start giving you the effects that you want. If you look in front of Presec, right, Presbyterian Boys School, for example, from where the flyover starts, if you come all the way to a bit close to where the traffic light to UPSA is, some trees were planted in the last 2-3 years. And if you've driven past that place in the last couple of weeks, Nathan, you would see that the trees have, you know, created this very nice shade. And they are not trees that are very big, but they are like shrubs. They create that right shade for you, and it gives you a very relaxing feel. And usually along rivers too, you can have very nice trees. Those that, again, don't have very invasive roots that will, you know, disturb people's walls and stuff like that. And I've seen someone send a message talking about the Odo. So along the Odo River, for example, if you imagine you had trees, imagine the symmetrical, you know, images it will give if you even did something there. I thought recently, no, a couple of years ago, I heard that they were going to create some recreational something around your door, dredge it and all that has become a promise that has gone down the drain. But imagine from, say, Circle, where the, I mean, just Circle, and there is a lot of encroachment along those lines. That would mean that if you are able to clear all these encroachers, you have a space that is now clear. You have trees all along both sides of the banks of the river, and you create a very good ecosystem around that area. That means that more migratory birds are moving to these areas and human beings too can seek shelter under these. As for the central business district, that entire enclave is a hot pot of chaos.
Yes.
From Tudu, Rawlings Park, what, Cantamanto, Whitechapel, I don't know, Opera Square, that entire, and see, it's all concrete, it's all bitumen, and the drains are choked. So when people are cooking in those markets and places, they are pouring their sewer into the drain that is not flowing. So if you are walking around that place, you get to the end, there's a little opening, the pungent smell that hits you, it's absolutely nauseating. And on top of that, the atmosphere is so hot, there are no trees to even trap the carbon dioxide coming and the fumes from people's cars. Sometimes those buses that are moving from Tudu, Makola, that area towards Kaneshi, those Malibu, like
all of those spaces,
those kind of big buses, the emissions that come out from their exhaust, I mean, look, if you pass behind them and they accelerate, the thing would just, you might just black out. And so I'm really thinking, we have our pavements in our marketplaces all taken over by hawkers and things. But if you go to other advanced places, I mean, people still sell on the streets, but there is space, there is room, so that you have ports that are not breakable. They are huge, like what you have in Parliament. Huge, and you can have some avenue trees that will still function, create some shade in a very short time, and all of that. And we don't even have a lack of expertise and knowledge in this area. If you commissioned a project like this and gave anyone the tax that you are leading a greening of the central business district, critical spot, hot spots in the city, where, because a lot of people go to the central business district from all over the country and all over the sub region. And so I'm really looking for, you know, places that we can do something. Because the Octagon experience I'm sharing with you, between Mervinpick, Accra City, Octagon, that small intersection it's also very refreshing if you get there. I mean, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, there are offices at the top there.
Yes, inside. And if you look from when there...
You will find peace. You find hope. You find ideas to do great things. Just because you are looking through the glass windows, either open or closed, and you are seeing beautiful things, how the cars are coming. And of course, as you stated, where you have so much harmful emissions coming out, the expectation is that the trees help us to absorb some of these things or take some of the hit.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Which would ordinarily be hitting human beings. But because we are not keeping trees alive, we are felling them. And those we plant, we do not make conscious efforts to ensure they survive. Here we are. We are living in a city which is reputed globally to be one of those with poor air quality.
Yeah.
Hazardous for our or to our health. And yet we are surviving in it because over time, people eventually, you might survive it today. But eventually, you end up at Kolebu with a chest problem.
That's true.
Or some problem with your lungs or one thing or the other. Look, you see the George Wakabush Highway?
Yes.
That long stretch.
That's true.
It has not a single tree.
That's true.
Along that whole stretch. From Tetekwasi Runabout.
Yes.
All the way to Mwalam Junction or the runabout there.
Actually.
Have you ever seen a tree somewhere along that stretch?
Not that you say.
None. So you have a concrete barrier erected in between the two, the median.
So in concrete. Between the lanes.
Yeah, so you have concrete erected. And then they reinforced it by adding some metal wires or metal railings.
Yes.
Over time, people have removed those things and have taken them into their houses, right? In some other countries, maybe it would have been wise. I don't know what the contractors would say. We said it's the highway. Yes, but many highways elsewhere still have tree cover.
They do.
Exactly. So it would have been possible while we were planning it to have incorporated in the plan the planting of trees. So that, how many years now? John Kufuor came in 2004. Yes, is it 2001? Yes. So if you look at the period, it must have been about 20 years. Imagine how that stretch will be looking if we had tree cover
in the last 20 years.
Exactly, from Tetekwasi all the way to Malam. So to address your question, that's one way of doing it. And the motorway itself. Have you really seen big trees? It's been how many years since we built it? Kwame Nkrumah built it, you know, when he was president or prime minister of this country.
This was in the 60s.
When he was president. Now, the question is, if we had ensured that we planted trees all the way from Tema, right down, I'm sure maybe somewhere along the line, some intervention must have been. As to whether they survived is an entirely different matter. But the point I'm making is that we have to be conscious about these things. And it is for good reason that when presidents visit, the tradition is that, in some cases, they plant trees. You understand?
Yeah.
100 years from now, 200 years from now, they will carry messages of cooperation between countries.
Yeah.
If you are a leader within your own space and you plant a tree, it is something that over time, people will refer to, and you are helping
in
protect
fact,
the environment.
Now that you mentioned, do you know that Gajesberg planted a tree at the Ebri Botanical Gardens?
Beautiful.
That's like, I think, 150 years old.
Yes.
There's another one that's like 300 years old.
Exactly.
And these trees carry history. They tell stories, you know. And we need to be doing much more. So a lot of messages are coming in, and I'll be reading some for you. I'm looking for spaces. I'm looking for places in our city that we can green in a sustainable manner. Nathan will help us with some of these comments. Loads and loads of them. Keep them coming. The text line is 0549-986-996. 0549-986-996. Let's hear you.
All right, Redeemer from Kaswa Manfro, top town. Mm-hmm. Says we have a tree in our community which is very big. We always have our meetings under it.
Okay.
One day a guy just cut it down.
Oh.
And his explanation was that the witches were allegedly meeting on top of it.
Yes,
now we have to go and rent a canopy anytime.
Think about that too. Free canopy is gone.
Yeah. Sami from East Legon says at least there's a question.
And the canopies, they trap heat. Eh?
They do. I'm quite surprised. Well, maybe we do not know. Maybe we do not know what the trees do for us. But
Sami from East Legon, Nathan.
He says, well, at least Tetekashi Roundabout, at Tetekashi Roundabout, we could have planted cocoa trees there. Sadly, what do we see after the whole tree planting episode? But all is not lost.
We can still do it. I completely agree.
This one says, as a country, we have failed. We are many years behind with our spatial planning, hence the failure of our city planning. Why do you think we experience floods after a little downpour?
Sad, isn't it?
The institution responsible has failed because they don't have the power. Remember, land is not owned by the government, so people do as they wish.
Mokole sent us that.
This one says, come to Maranatha University and Pentecost University and see proper greenery and vegetation with tall trees that breathe oxygen into the area. I live around Soto. Okay, Maranatha, Pentecost, they are all at Soto.
Right.
I've not been able
to
further down the road.
Says,
I live around Soto, but since the doomsday started, I've not been able to cope with the heat anytime the light goes off.
You see?
Now I have to spend most weekends in that area. And to make things perfect, there's a mini zoo just by the school.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
No, the last time I went to Pentecost University, this was what? This was during the 2016 elections, I think. Well, the place does have order. So I'm sure it's better now from what the gentleman is
and
saying.
And he's brought my attention to a good point. Now that the lights are not even stable, at night it's a torture to sleep, because also we have built in such a way that we are using infrastructure, we are using materials for our build spaces that do not allow for ventilation and the free circulation of air. Now, if you're living in an area where there are a lot of trees, when the lights go off, you just have to, you know, slide your window and you have some good air coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are breathing hot air at night.
Okay.
DJ Nature
says, it seems our estate developers are also contributing to the problem by cutting down the majority of trees in and around Accra.
Say that again.
They need to be regulated.
Mm.
This one says, as far as protecting trees is concerned, our EPA and other institutions that are supposed to be doing their work do not care about the trees. We collectively do not care about the trees and nature in this country, and it shows in our environment. Do we have laws to protect our trees? And if we do, why are they not being enforced? Albert from Abilinkpe sent that. Elvis from Sakumona says, why are individuals granted mining concessions to explore cocoa regions? Okay. This one says, I know Sky will disagree, but honestly, our laws do not work. They only favor a few. Come to Abokobi and see how estate developers are building with no regard to nature. The whole place from afar is filled with roof and concrete. If our laws work, these people would have been forced to put in place, essentially saying that they should replant or put or grow new trees. This one says, Caleb, on the same stretch where the botanical garden is located towards the Domi roundabout, after the Total filling stations, a canopy of trees on both sides of the road.
Very
roads.
Refreshing.
The air
right.
and breeze and that canopy is refreshing. I wish I could park my car there and just enjoy the air. With the road expansion going on, I can guarantee, I don't know whether he wants to say I can't guarantee, says those trees. Okay, I can guarantee those trees will be felled.
Yes, this is true, because prior to the expansion of the road, there used to be somewhere after, there's a place called Caleb Villa, and there was a joint where they prepare a conferment, tilapia and things. I don't know if you've ever seen that. There was a huge cotton tree where the KFC thing is before you turn to Agboba. There's a huge cotton tree that provided some massive shade.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Atomic, going towards Atomic Roundabout.
Okay.
Before you get to this is way before Hatcho. If you're taking the turn to Agboba,
mm-hmm.
that's before you take that right turn that way.
Okay.
That tree was at the other side of things.
Okay.
And look, I got there, they felt the thing, and I was so disappointed. So disappointed. But
I'm sure they will say they are constructing the road, so that's why they need to clear the trees for that. But I don't know, from the look of things, it doesn't seem there'll be a replacement for those trees. Listeners, what I'm asking is, look, share locations where we can plant more trees, that we can green. Grow critical mass of trees that will become green hotspots, green hubs around the city that we can go and sit down and enjoy and have fun. A lot of you are complaining. I see that. That's okay. But now I'm looking for answers.
Yeah, but they should also chook.
Well, it's good. It's good to chook.
Who are cutting the specific areas where they are cutting the trees. Trees that you have known since you were a kid and went for some reason, somebody just got up one morning and decided to kill it.
But Sky, what's wrong with us? Because, I mean, besides the conversation for trees, we also need to have open spaces. Mm. Open spaces where young people could play football. Open spaces where people could go sit down, take walks. Because, like, you could take a whole... Like, look at La Paz.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm looking at La Paz all the way through Chantana, Tumota, I can't think of one specific place where people can gather.
Yeah.
And just recreate. Think of Awoshi. Think of Kasua. Mm-hmm. Think of Ashaiman.
Mm-hmm.
Think of Adabraka.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for parks. Okay, there is a Sahara Park here.
That's Sakura Park, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a Sakura Park. I'm not even talking about parks that are even green. I'm looking for open spaces.
Yeah, but and it's a lot of them
we
don't...
are building any and everywhere. Yes, so if there's a fire outbreak, for example, like there was in Medina a couple of days ago, either yesterday or two ago, the fire people will tell you that they struggle to find their way there because the whole place is either a slum or a glorified slum.
That's what I said about, and that's what I said earlier about zoning and marking out spaces. Because if a city is said to be modern, it's supposed to have all of these things. Of course, like I said, modernity will come with all kinds of things. The hustle and bustle, more spaces for commercial activity, more office buildings, real estate, that kind of thing. But we still, as a country and as a city or whatever, we still need to ensure that we have places properly marked out. Why is it that, Richard, for many years, the poster child for planned and zoned places was Tema, because it was very deliberate. Yeah. And there was a plan as to how the place would look like. This will go here. That will go here. This will go here. Remember a few months ago when we were discussing the story of that library in Tema that was, you know, being taken over. You remember that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so the point is, it just goes to speak to how planned, at least in terms of there was some thinking that went into it. Over time, we've allowed Accra to almost grow wild.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing we are doing to rein in the growth and to ensure that we can keep the city functioning.
Mm.
And to ensure that people who live here can live dignified lives. We can't live in a town where all you are doing is running up and down. Sure. There's no pause. Sure. There's no break. Even if on a holiday, where can you even go to go and sit down and just relax?
And think.
How many? We can count on
that's
our hands.
A good question.
You mentioned Legon.
Yes.
But where apart from Legon, where can you
that's
go?
That's green.
All other places that you want to go and relax are places that will cost you money. Right? Places that will cost you money.
It's a good
There's no open space where your children can even run around and exercise. These days, look at the kids. Yeah. Lots of them are developing all kinds of conditions because, one, the neighborhoods have deteriorated. So the neighborhood doesn't have a place where a mother can go and leave a child. They say, run around and excite yourself. So that is one. Two, the breakdown of security. So most parents have become very paranoid. They don't want their children to go anywhere. So my child is home. He has pent up energy. How do I give them something to distract them? They can't run around. So you put them on a tablet or sit behind and play your PlayStation.
All
because when you are there, you don't disturb anybody.
They become obese over time.
Yes. So the price we pay for comfort, or the price we are paying for not developing or convenience or not developing our spaces very well, is that now we have kids we spend money on to heal them because they are sedentary. They are eating the wrong things. They are not exercising. So at a very young age, they are battling all kinds of health challenges simply because...
We have lifestyle diseases.
Good. We haven't thought long and hard about how to get this city to be livable, breathable, so that this city is healthy enough
to save all of us at several points of our lives. Good really, point. That is the problem.
I like it. We'll take a quick break, okay. Sky. When we are back, we will delve into this some more. Some of you are sending in your messages. We'll be reading all of that for you. 97.3 City FM. This is the City Breakfast Show. The line to share your thoughts with us is 0549-986-996.
This is the City Breakfast Show. The city's biggest conversation.
Join the conversation on the City Breakfast Show on Facebook at facebook.com/city973, Twitter at twitter.com/city973, and Instagram at instagram.com/city973 with the hashtag CityCBS.
The City Breakfast Show. Rise above the noise.
Thinking and reflecting on how to make our city greener than it is. And if you're dreaming of the perfect sofa to upgrade this year, your dream sofa is now a reality at Latex Foam, introducing a sensational V-Sofa range where comfort meets style at prices that will make your heart skip a beat. Hop into any Latex Foam showroom nationwide to dive into a world of colors and choices, from the sleek L-shaped V-Sofa at just 3,100 Ghana cedis to complete V-Sofa set for an unbeatable 6,500 Ghana cedis. You have the opportunity to elevate your living space with Latex Foam, your forever partner in comfort and luxury. Hurry, your perfect sofa awaits. Latex Foam is your partner for life.
Now let's celebrate everything Ghanaian by showing up in outfits made from genuine, authentic GTP prints. Introducing the latest GTP New Style Collection with unique designs inspired by our culture and embedded with symbols that unite us as Ghanaians. Mm. And you can get that and grab the new Ghana Month collection from GTP, available at all accredited GTP dealers nationwide, the GTP retail store in Osu, or shop online shop.gtpfashion.com. Let your outfit say, "I'm Ghanaian, I wear GTP, me free Ghana." GTP lifestyle.
Now, are you a young Ghanaian seeking stable, fulfilling employment? Look no further than Ghana Grows program, brought to you by the Mastercard Foundation in collaboration with Springboard, Roadshow Foundation and Limehouse. Ghana Grows ignites hope and guides you towards career opportunities in agriculture, agribusiness, technical and vocational skills. Whether you're 15 or 35, male or female, this program equips you with the skills to thrive. Gain access to career guidance, counseling and essential skills training. Join us and contribute to Ghana's growth through careers in agriculture and ATVET. Ejuma Okrom, embrace a Greek and ATVET careers with Ghana Grows, an initiative of Mastercard Foundation in partnership with Springboard, Roadshow Foundation and Limehouse. For more information, call us on 0308255775. More of your comments are here. We'll be sharing them with you.
All right, so a few more comments. Evans in Newtown says, in front of GBC is a nice place to plant trees and one can go and relax, but GBC is doing nothing about it. Says, God help us. Okay, parks and gardens have a portion of their premises under litigation. I believe the parks and gardens are responsible for the greening of our country. If we don't understand the importance of trees and flowers, how can we adequately resource the institution responsible for the greening of our country? And Chijioke in Tema Community 25 says, there's this huge tree at Peace B Junction, Community 25 in Tema, and the estate developers just woke up and brought it down. And it provides, the tree provided shade for both the police officers and other people in the area. Ooh. This one says, if the EPA is minded, let them protect the trees from Guyack Police Station to Melcombe. Okay, from Guyack Police Station to Melcombe. They can be incorporated into the median, I see. This one says, there was a very, very big tree at Bemakam Battalion bus stop. I'm sure the tree is over 150 years. I was shocked to see that the tree had been cut down and a container had been put there.
Oh, yeah.
That's container. Coming from
Joe. This container menace.
This one says, I used to live inside Accra Poly during my early childhood days, and I have very nostalgic memories of my walking through the canopy Shea to church at the Holy Spirit Cathedral. We used to hunt guava fruit and play in the grass in front of the cafeteria in the fashion department. But now that space is, that place has buildings with the student population bursting at it seems. Students have no place to even wait for a class apart from the trees around the notice board area. It's a pity. There's a question round about what are we doing with it? Vast land, beautiful space with which we can do so much for greenery. What can we do with it? We allow the grass to grow and burn it. Ghana, in this day and age, we still burn grass?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are times you go there and you see people running after, you know, rats on that space because someone thought
hunting
it was...
Bela.
Yeah, that's why. Bela. It was brilliant during the day to burn the space so as to chase the rats
the
around.
Out.
And you see, and this is happening in the heart of Accra, in the heart of the city. And, you know, you don't see people moving in on them to pick them up and to deal with them accordingly. It's unacceptable. There are people who have reached out and expressed concerns about, you know, planting trees along our roads and highways. I recognize some of those concerns, but literature supports the fact that it makes sense. It is environmentally friendly and it is proper. And the recommendations are coming in from all manner of experts that is the way to go if we want to actually positively affect how much greenhouses we are emitting as a country. Now, let me quickly read something for our purpose. This is a paper which is available on the e-library of the World Bank, for instance. And it says that roadside tree planting. It's a comprehensive work done by a number of experts in this particular space. Let me just read the abstract of the paper, some sections of it. It says, planting trees, shrubs, and grasses along the road can create a productive asset and can alleviate the negative effects of roads on the local environment. Dust from unpaved roads remains an overlooked but major health hazard. But roadside tree planting has many cool benefits beyond the dust control, such as creation of productive assets, reduce crop damage, reduce soil erosion, improve visibility, and provision of windbreaks, shade, carbon sequestration, and beautification. And he goes on to talk about some key considerations for planning roadside tree planting include 1, ownership of the road reserve. So that's a big issue in Ghana. 2, plans for future road widening. 3, economic value of the tree species. 4, shape of tree barrier. 5, route development. 6, road sight lines. And 7, road safety, and 8, access to water. Now, roadside tree planting and roadside forests can also offset part of the carbon dioxide emissions that come from new roads. So, and there are many publications that support the idea that it is a great thing to do. It is very important. You mentioned the point about, you spoke about the, where can we?
Yeah.
So many years ago, Pastor Mensah Otterbill delivered a sermon and spoke about the fact that the Sodom and Gomorrah, forgive me, not Sodom and Gomorrah, there's a name of a proper name for it,
Old Fadam.
The site where they were burning the computer electronic parts things. And the electronic
waste. Yes.
You know, research had come out globally and
it's
had said that
space
exactly
on the surface of the earth.
Yes, that's right. Worse than Chernobyl.
Yeah.
And it was a sermon that was, you know, we played it here and was widely reported elsewhere. That space now has been reclaimed by the great works of the Greater Accra Regional Minister former, the Honorable Henry Korte.
Yep.
Now, the question is, what do we do with it? It's a vast land, huge land, several acres.
So we've not planted any trees there?
I've not been there for about a year now, but I've not seen one. About a couple of months ago, there was an event at the Greater Accra Regional Coordinating Council, and I was there.
RCC.
And then there was a major discussion, debate, and disagreements as to what to do with it. In my respectful view, yes, I understand that maybe the soil has become really toxic over time because for some reason we allow the scrap dealers to do their, you know, their illegal conduct for so long.
Maybe and should have a green park there.
I think that it will be wise, in my respectful view, to convert that into some truly green space.
Yeah.
Which will mean that the experts would have to go there and conduct the proper test. As to test, yes.
Mm-hmm. Kind of trees would
exactly, exactly. Whether it is still toxic, of course, it will still be toxic over time. The question is, what kinds of, you know, plants or trees can be put in there, which can help to rejuvenate the soil?
Mm-hmm.
It is possible. I think the science is out there, and if you go to Kumasi, you go to the KNUST, you go to Lagos, I'm sure there are experts around this country,
exactly,
who should be able to tell us when they go there, conduct the proper research, and come back and tell us that, oh yes, it is possible to put A, B, C, D there.
Mm-hmm.
So that over the next 10 to 20 years, we would have substantially transformed that space, adding to the forest cover that we have. Because, look, I have seen stories on the various portals talking about how we continue to excessively rely on charcoal.
Mm-hmm.
So while people are cutting down the trees for all kinds of very silly reasons, others are also cutting down the trees for purposes of what?
Charcoal.
Charcoal. Mm. Charcoal. They are using it to either burn them directly in order to get their food heated or do all kinds of things. Kinky sellers are doing it. You still see huge trucks from various parts of this country headed in the direction of the cities.
Uh-huh.
And you see what? Firewood.
Yeah, that's true.
They are using them to grill and do all kinds of things.
Done.
Exactly. Now, I'm not saying that we should end the use of, you know, firewood entirely, because no country has been able to do that. What we can do is to ensure a balance that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
When you kill a tree, it makes sense to plant, you know, two or three or five more to replace what you have cut down. But are we doing that? We're still relying excessively on charcoal in the local areas. What's the name? The rural areas. That is almost always the go-to source of energy.
Yeah.
And I think that, yes, the Mahama administration or the government before then, it must have been the Mills administration, Mahama administration, they introduced a beautiful policy to send cylinders to the villages. The Akufo-Addo government says that it is continuing the project. But how much have we achieved? That's the question that the NPA and the Energy Commission would have to answer. Because if we continue to leave the rural folks without clean energy,
charcoal
burning will continue.
And mangrove harvesting is a big deal in the coastal areas.
Exactly. On top of that, as I said, we have illegal mining, which is also decimating our forest cover and the reserves we do have. So if we really are thinking, it is not about carrying 2,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 people to come something to go and sit in Dubai, have tea, do all kinds of things, in some cases in our name and on our tax CD, and then come back and do the things that are contributing to the problems we see globally. We are sitting not far away from the Sahara Desert, and we see the effects in the northern parts of the country. When you go there, the heat you have to deal with. We should not continue the things that are fast depleting the forest cover that we have as a country.
Nathan, you made a point about, you ask people, where do they go on holidays and even weekends?
Yeah, yeah.
To
me, I'm refresh. Even more, where do people take their kids to, for them to play, run around?
Yeah.
Even you just want a place where you can just leave the house and just go and sit there.
And just think
and enjoy. Where? It's can count them. You mentioned the Legon Botanical Garden. You can count such places on your hands.
Yeah.
If I ask you to count in Accra, you can count them on your hands. If you want to try places outside Accra, they're a bit more, you find them.
Yeah.
But look at the cost involved in moving from Accra to those places.
That's the thing.
And then coming back, because the next day there's, you know, you have to go back to your duties. It's something I think about all the time. And I get extremely worried because I fear that we'll get to a point where parents will not have places to even send their kids. You can take them to all the wherever.
Yeah.
But you won't find a place where you can, even as an adult, you can just go and sit and think.
Mm-hmm. You know that.
Sit and read. You won't get a place like that.
You know that there is a research. I'm just capping this conversation with this. Our friends from Ghana Olympiad Academy are here. And this research actually dovetails very well into what they're coming to talk about. So to increase literacy and numeracy, children need to have access to nature and at the very least, green and natural views of trees.
Are you reading from a paper?
Yes, this is a paper on Wiley. I'll share that with you shortly, right? Mm-hmm. As reviewed in Kuo, Browning and Co, stress levels, concentration and intrinsic motivation are likely strong factors in a child's success as a student. Mm-hmm. Students who are focused, attentive, and engaged are more likely to succeed in school and receive a quality education. Attention deficit disorder, ADD, and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, can impact a student's success in school. Green environments such as open spaces with big trees are related to reduced symptoms of ADD and ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
Tree cover is strongly linked to student academic performance. In one study, views of trees and shrubs at school as opposed to grass were strongly related to future education plans and graduation rates.
No wonder I did very well.
I'm not surprised.
Because when my mind was hot, yeah. I always go by the river.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Plants, People, and Planet. New Cytologist Foundation. It's a paper on social impact, the benefits of trees for livable and sustainable communities.
And somebody has sent in a tweet and says that the name is Belinda Boato. It says, Richard, the Achimota forest issue is far from over. The Ministry of Lands and Natural Resources is going ahead with the reclassification of portions of it. Now, mining licenses are being granted in forest reserves and even globally significant biodiversity areas. I think these are some of the issues that perhaps we'll be minded to take up as a people to ensure that, look, the government is not left to be exercising its power just anyhow.
I'm sure Article 2 will do something on
this. Of course, there has to be responsible use of presidential, ministerial, and governmental power. It cannot be that people just get up and then are issuing licenses left, right, and center without thinking of the next generation.
Very important.
It does not make sense.
Very important. So on this matter, Article 2, you hear from Article 2. There are long messages coming in. We'll be sharing them with you shortly. In the meantime, our friends from Ghana Olympiad Academy, they are here in the studio. They provide opportunities for students in Ghana to partake in international Olympiad examinations and competitions. Students from grade 1 to 12 have the opportunity of taking the Olympiad exams in math, English, ICT, and science online and paper-based. Students can enhance their academic skills in STEM as they compete with 100,000 and more students from over 99 countries. Wow. These programs ignite the geniuses in students, develop their analytical thinking, power of reasoning, logical thinking, and problem-solving skills so as to become global thinkers and doers. I love it. Global thinkers and doers. Joining us in the studio, Abel is around. Oh, okay. Abel, where is Abel? Abel, you are still around.
Yeah. I'm still trending.
You are going strong, Abel. Hard guy. Good to see you, Abel. Welcome, sir. Abel Ohene Akwe.
Akwe.
You are the program director for Ghana Olympiad Academy.
That's correct.
All right. And Bennett.
Yeah.
Osai Ado.
Yes, please.
You are the program manager.
Yes, sir.
Two big men from the Ghana Olympiad Academy. Gentlemen, you are welcome to the studio.
Thank you so much.
Do you agree with this research I just read? They say that there is a strong correlation between green places and students watching tree covers and all of that, and their academic performance.
Oh yes, yes, I wouldn't doubt that at all, because the kind of environment you put your child in, mm-hmm. and what they are exposed to, mm-hmm. really does affect their thinking capabilities, right? And so, according to research, mm-hmm. once you have a kid positioned in a place where he's privy to the opportunities and the possibilities out there, it does affect on their, you know, psyche. Wow. So I don't doubt this.
Because they're talking about attention deficit disorders where there are no trees. And these days I see a lot of so-called international schools that are three-story, four-story, all tiled, and a very small patch of land, no space for play, no playground even. And I'm wondering how that could impact their cognitive development and all of that. You think there's a problem?
Right. Yeah, there is. There is. And, you know, in countries like Finland, now, even with their schools, there's almost like a big playground, right, where it's an open house, let me put it that way. And so they can move from, you know, one place to the other. Mm-hmm. There's really no restrictions.
Yeah.
Because the thing about boundaries and, you know, walls, it creates a constricting space, and you're not able to, you know, holistically develop. So once there's more open space, you kind of, psychologically, that does affect their psyche. So
okay, let's thank you for sharing your two cents with us on my pet peeve.
Uninformed.
Yeah, I know. Forgive me for putting you on the spot. I was testing your analytical skills as you are testing the children. But let's talk about the kangaroo math competition, right? Tell me about it. What is it about? And the Hippo English Olympiad. Wow.
Okay, the kangaroo math competition is one of the biggest math competitions we have in the world. Stemming from France, we have other countries that are part of this organization.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Ghana is also part of this. And then what they do is that they come up with models and examinations for students to try.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that in Europe, Asia, and the other countries, they're very big on education, and there's something that they are doing right. And so at the Ghana Olympiad Academy, what we want to do is to expose our students to such models so that we can also be a part. Today we know the level that we are when it comes to the global level in competitions.
So this is the kangaroo math competition.
Yes.
And Hippo English Olympiad.
Yes.
You like these animals?
They have very interesting models.
Is it because they are kids?
Yes. They want it to be fun. You know, and that's another thing. Sometimes we make learning or the idea of getting knowledge a
very
bit more, very abstract. But then if you, and you see a lot of the questions, even with the kangaroo math and even the Hippo English, will have the pictures of the kangaroo
animals in there.
And animals. And so they easily relate to it.
Yeah.
And learning must be fun.
Yeah.
And so the approach of the Olympiads and with these exams that we are curating, including the kangaroo math and the Hippo English, is to sort of replicate these models that are being, you know, tested, mm-hmm. that are tried and really working in different jurisdictions here in Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
And Bernard did say that so many countries do take part in this Olympiad. I mean, these Olympiads have been running for years, decades even. What's interesting about the kangaroo math is that it's a very interesting process. These questions are sourced from some of the top expert tutors from across the world. It's almost like the Olympics.
Mm.
They meet every year. Every country brings their questions for the different levels. And then there's a debate of some sort.
Okay.
And they eventually come up with the final questions.
Right.
So it's really a reflection of what
the global standard.
Exactly. I don't know whether you know about the PISA test and stuff like that. Yeah. So it's a competition that really does test the level of country by virtue of how well they do, because this is a curated test, right? Similar to Hippo English as well. It has a framework which is backed by Gatehouse Awards, which is one of the largest education framework bodies in English. And so we do want to test the level of our students against the parity, the world parity.
Mm.
How well are students doing locally here?
Mm.
Because you cannot just be a local champion. We
That's
are in
the
global
benchmark.
Exactly.
Mm.
I think the exposé we've given to students by virtue of getting them involved in programs like this really does testify that there's some work that needs to be done. There is a gap in the education space, and we need to really take steps to get our students to be exposed to opportunities like these.
So this is open for students from grade 1 to 12?
Yes.
And what's the format? Is this paper-based? Is it online or assigned?
Yes, so grade 1 to grade 12, that's a primary 1 to SHS 3.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is that we're doing both paper-based and online. And so schools, we encourage schools that have the logistics can take it online. And then those who would want to register more people,
mm-hmm.
we have the paper-based. We have a structure we go through with them so they can do the paper-based as well. I don't know if I should add that we also have a center. We're hosting the HIPPO English Olympiad next week, Saturday, 20th of April at Presec, 10 a.m.
Okay.
So all students that are around in and around Accra can come around, and then just like the program's director said, you test your knowledge against what is happening.
I like it. Now, there's a summer STEM camp.
Yeah.
Summer STEM camp.
Yes, there is.
Why is that happening?
Again, you know, we are all about amplifying global education opportunities for students, right? So they start at the local level with these Olympiads, they write, they do well. If you get medals, you get opportunity to take part in some of our programs worldwide. So last year, for instance, in December, we took about 70 students to Indonesia, Bali.
70
yes.
students yes. to Indonesia?
Yes, yes, yes.
So they went to Bali?
Yes, yes.
Did they go to their beaches?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, went there, you know, to have some fun after the exams. But, it was good, really. And actually, we had some parents joining as well. So parents, teachers, of course, us as staff, and the students.
70 students.
Yes, and they took part in the STEAM Ahead competition where they were, you know, tested in math and in science and cybersecurity, etc.
Are we going back to Indonesia? I want to come with you.
No, you should try. I know you must have been traveling.
You
really?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So this summer, we have a slew of programs that we have. There's a program in Netherlands called the Grand STEM Olympiad that we are taking some students to.
Right.
We're also doing the Best of Asia Discovery Camp where we're going to Singapore, Dubai, and then Malaysia with some students.
Goodness.
There's a Chevron Engineering Leaders Program, which we are partnering with ALE in South Africa. We're taking some students to do this program. And then there's the Singapore STEM Camp, which is open to all students, right? Parents who really want their kids to explore the world around them in STEM.
Mm-hmm.
And because you know how effective and how these things do transform the minds of children when they go and meet with other
very, very transformative
good students elsewhere. They mingle, they know what the possibilities are out there, and etc. So, yes, we'll be doing the Singapore STEM Camp from I think the 18th to the 29th of July, and registrations are open. It's open to all. So, usually for a lot of our global programs, you may have to have passed through the examination and passed, gotten a medal to go through, but this one is open to all.
Okay,
so any parents can definitely go into our website, GhanaOlympicAcademy.com, or I think later we'll probably provide our numbers as well.
GhanaOlympicAcademy.com. Because their children are listening, they are going to tell their parents
to get them. And I know a lot of parents do listen. Absolutely. So they will.
And you know, what I like about events like this is the sheer courage it gives the young ones, the confidence it gives them. I mean, if you meet kids who are exposed, you can simply tell. For example, if you're flying a drone and an exposed kid comes, he wants to also do something.
Exactly.
But the other ones, they see that in the
far away,
and
so
they are
far
crying,
away, yeah.
Mama, yeah, exactly, you know. Yeah, exactly. So it gives them this confidence. They want to try any and that's everything, true. And they don't literally have any fears at all.
No limits.
I like it. So no programs like this are giving them opportunity to have a broader worldview, meet other people, and also benchmark their knowledge across. Benchmark their knowledge with world standards. So what's the long-term impacts you hope to achieve through this program and initiative? I'm talking about the Ghana Olympiad Academy.
Okay, so I'll talk about a few, and I think Bennett will add to it. So again, the idea is to, we really do need to generate a human capital here in this country that, academic thinkers, that we call it nurturing new generation leaders in STEM fields, etc. And luckily for us, there's a blueprint, right? Other countries are doing it. Mm-hmm. I mean, Singapore, you know, a few decades back were probably worse off than us, right? But now you go there and you be marveled at the level of development there. And so we are really looking to, in our own small way, create a certain community where we are pushing our students to go beyond the norm, and using these blueprints that we've gotten from, you know, Europe and South Asia and etc., we are impacting the students. So again, nurturing students, the next generation of academic thinkers, leaders, and amplifying global education opportunities for these students. So, and we started this actually during the COVID era when, you know, parents were reaching out to us. They wanted an opportunity for the students to be engaged in some sort of exams because they were home, etc. And then we got up, we had our partner in Singapore and said, you know what, let's bring this program to Ghana. And we were, you know, marveled by the extent of, you know, coverage that we got. So, and the students who have passed through our modules, some have gone to Harvard, some have gone to Stanford, some have gone to some of the top universities, Ashesi, Academy City, by virtue, of course, not exclusively, but by virtue of the fact that they've been able to, you know, have this, what we call portfolio. And so they're able to show to the rest of the world that, hey, they are challenging enough, then they are able to meet up with the standards of the world. And so the long term is to build that community and create access for students to be able to, you know, enhance their academic skill sets and, of course, nurturing their, you know, ingenuity, as it were, so that we can have transformational leaders in this country.
I love it, Bennett. Let me give you the last word
to add a few to it. We want to fill gaps. I mean, if you are big on education, you realize that there are some gaps that would have to fill, and then through some of these tests, if you're very used to the Bloom's taxonomy, the idea is not just the questioning, but that we want students to be able to analyze and evaluate, and that is the main purpose of the Olympia, so that it gets them to do a bit of analysis, like you mentioned, critical thinking here and there, and that they should be able to do the evaluation. And so that is what the Ghana Olympiad Academy stands for, that through this test, there is a bit of diagnostic assessment. We get to know where there are problems and what our standard is. And then we fill the gaps. And then it's also a competition. Kids love. This is unique competition that is quite stimulating to their intellectual ability. And it also fits all learning styles. Just like Abel said, there are pictures in there. So if you have somebody who is a visual student, there are a bit of stepwise calculations in there. And so it suits all students.
I love it. It reminds me of my nephew. Anytime we play a game and he loses, he cries and says, I didn't win. And I will teach him that I didn't win. But you also teach him the most important thing. You don't always win. When you are defeated, you also try again and you get to win. Thank you, Abel Ohene Akwa, Akwe. Yes. Program director, and Bennett Osai Ado of the Ghana Olympiad.
Caleb, would you want us to reiterate just briefly the exams ahead, the dates, and how they can reach out to us? Okay, all right. So we have the HIPPO English coming up on the 20th of April, happening at Presec Legon, 10 a.m. It's open. You can come and register on the grounds and be a part of the English. We are doing the Kangaroo Math as well on the 11th of May, also at Presec Legon. You can come and register as students. If you want more information, you can go to ghanaolympiadacademy.com. There's all the litany of the programs that we run over there, and you can also reach out to us. You can come to, you can reach out on 020-185-6818. That's on WhatsApp, or you can also go to call 059-3967-781. So either of these numbers, 020-185-6818, you can call on WhatsApp, or you can WhatsApp 059-396-7781.
Okay, gentlemen, thank you so much for passing through the studio and have a fantastic weekend.
You too.
Thank you.
This is the City Breakfast Show. The city's biggest conversation. This is the City Breakfast Show. The city's biggest conversation.
That one original.
Original to all original. I don't know what up the need, girl. Refix it, I know it's the sound boy. Long side sound file.
You are the beat of my heart. One, two, three, no, so me coulda never part with you, girl. We be team from the start, keeping it real. I'm in love with your attitude, girl. You know be teeth up a tat, but when you give it to me, I go give it to you, yeah. As I deceive from afar, long time me know you are the most original. I dey waiting, you dey waiting, you say waiting, come make we date, yeah. You are the most original.
Are they waiting? Are they waiting? You say waiting, come every day, yeah. You are the most original. Anyway, girl, if you know you are the most original, most original. Hey, girl, if you know you are the most original, most original. Tell them you are the most original. You are the most original. My girl, if you know you are the most original, you are original.
6 minutes to the top of the hour.
Not anybody to go.
Some of your messages coming through, we'll end with them.
Imagine
we've been just having a conversation on greening the city, urban tree planting.
Y'all see you,
creating what I call the green hubs, the green belts in the city.
You never know, says Stone Boy.
This one says, I live in East Legon. The original plan had reservations for green areas. No. Now we have people like you mentioned, a name and others who have taken over all these areas and even riverbanks where they have erected structures and turned them into concrete jungles. This one says, Caleb, keep me anonymous. I have complained and lamented about this for a long time. You and Richard spoke about the EPA and the people mandated to ensure that our green spaces are safe. There is even a University of something and natural resources that force trees that have been standing for God knows how long to build projects such as lecture theaters and entrances that stall. That have even stalled. I think we can inculcate this into our national policy on building. We should apportion a percentage of spaces. We should decide how to build and how to incorporate trees into our environment. These days, almost every house is paved. Funny enough, most of these facilities are owned by the very people who understand the process of climate and free circulation of air properly. Nathan, there are a few more we have coming through, right?
Yes, this one is a very long list. Mentioning places where we can plant trees for shade. It says Accra Mall, Oxford Street, Nkrumah Circle, Independence Square, Osun, okay. East Legon, Airport City,
like
Labadi Beach, or La Beach, Jamestown, Carnation, Medina Market, Tema Motorway.
Great.
It says University of Ghana, the Botanical Gardens at Legon and Ebri, Accra Zoo, National Museum, Kokobite Beach, Bojo Beach, Sakomono Beach, and the whole of Tema. That's a very long,
extensive, very long one.
Mamiefa from Tema says, I think Papaya Recreational Village is doing a great job in this regard, right from the entrance to the main areas. Okay. It's so beautiful and serene with a mini stream. Although it's a little out of town, it's an ideal place away from the hassle and bustle. Okay, that's good. On greening the cities, I believe the plan is already on paper. Just ask a government planner. But just like any other thing, we fail to execute. To start with, we take those plans and start implementing with. There are even technologies to supplant grown trees to new areas. Bernard in Accra. The only football park in the Botia Normal 11 area has been sold to an estate developer who has started work. Boys have to roam about looking for an open space to play. In fact, we have a zoning problem in the country from Castle. And that's very telling. You know, our very good friend Godfrey Akotubaf always says this. If you travel from Kaswa to Osu, that stretch between Kaswa and Osu, you won't find one proper football pitch for football teams to use.
From Kaswa to
Osu? Yes, the only place that's available to a large extent is Karl Reindorf at Dansoman. You know, so that should get us thinking.
This is a disturbing one.
And as for Ashaiman, I met some people cutting down a big tree in Ashaiman. I confronted them to stop. I was told that witches were eating on it, so it must be cut down. And
what
I,
from this?
You know, and they told me I was a witch. I see. Emperor Melchizedek from OEB.
Melchizedek.
Says, yeah, says, I was surprised to see the way trees at DVLA 37 office have been destroyed. In the name of development, my question is, can't we leave the trees and find a way of designing buildings around them? It seems the head of the fish is rotting.
That's
what Emperor Melchizedek.
And Sam sent this one. He says, I grew up in a mining area, Obuasi. At a point, the mine had to pave sections of the forest to put up residences. We, the kids at the time, were mobilized to plant the trees back. We had our names hanged on the tree that we planted, and we had to nurture them. 30 years on, I go back and the place is so beautiful now. It's now a complete forest with houses in between. This is a refreshing one.
That's
so, guys, think about the next 30 years, the next 20 years. What can we do now
that will make our environment better. There are simple things like planting a tree or two or more. You know, and there are refuse dump sites that have now become gardens. If you go to Okponglo Junction now, mm-hmm. where the GRA office is, if you're going towards on the run, Legon on the run.
Okay.
From Okponglo, you are going towards Apresek. There's a GRA office on the right-hand side. Behind it used to be a refuse dump site. Now it's a garden altogether.
I see.
And so it's possible, guys. It's possible.
Of the hour, leaving you with a Fiokuma love.
Now Shika Caesar is in the studio. You have Osu love. Love you so.
Really now?
Your own is Osu love. Love you so.